Here's an audio test for microphone number one as the Salem Red Sox and Kannapolis Cannonballers play for the series finale. Here is audio test number two on microphone number two for the same matchup.
It is warm. Hello? Can anyone hear me? Are we supposed to be able to hear ourselves?
Yes.
Okay, I can't hear myself. I heard that.
We welcome you inside the Salem Memorial Ballpark for the series finale as the 39-47 Kannapolis Cannonballers take on the 45-41 Salem Red Sox as the home team tries to win the series on this Sunday evening. It is the Red Sox and the Cannonballers on this Sunday, and we get things started off with the Kannapolis offense, and let's get you the starting lineup to get things going. Second baseman number 12, followed by the third baseman number 10, Wes Kath. The designated hitter for Kannapolis today is number 17, Colby Smelly, and he bats third in the order. Hitting cleanup, it's the right fielder number 25, DJ Gladney, followed by the first baseman number 7, Wilfred Verras. Left fielder number 21, Benjamin Bailey, bats 6, while the center fielder number 22, Misael Gonzalez, bats 7th. The catcher number 13, Nick Thornquist, makes his debut in the lineup this week, and he bats 8th. And then rounding out the order, it's a shortstop in number 1, Wilbur Sanchez, out on the mound today, pitching for the Salem Red Sox. It is number 27 in Thad Ward, making a second start for the Salem Red Sox this week, and is part of his rehab assignment. And when he pitched earlier for Salem on that series opening contest, it was a perfect 3 innings from the mound. 0 hits, 0 earned runs allowed, did not walk a single batter, and struck out 4 in the process. A perfect 9 of 9. Remember, That game started off really fast, but we had to finish the contest on the Wednesday afternoon due to the rain that came into the area. So it's been a back-and-forth kind of week here between Salem and Kannapolis. Red Sox winning the series opener. Kannapolis responding with the 11-2 win in the 7-inning contest on Wednesday. Back-to-back wins by the Red Sox. And then last night on Saturday, Kannapolis found a way through to take their second win of the week by a final score of 5-2. And so it looks like we're underway here at Salem Memorial Ballpark. It is a sunny day here at Salem Memorial Ballpark with temperatures around the mid-80s right now. Humidity is definitely in the area. We were in a monsoon-like conditions around 3 o'clock here in Southwest Virginia, but the sun is out, the fans are into their seats, and we are ready to play baseball almost on time. Thad Ward will step in and fire the first pitch, and it's upstairs for ball number one. 5:08 p.m. first pitch time here at Salem Memorial Ballpark. And Ward steps in for the 1-0 pitch, and Atwood will swing and miss for strike number one. Atwood back in the leadoff spot today for the Kannapolis Cannonballers, was in the lineup at this spot yesterday as the 1-1 pitch to Atwood skied up towards left field, and coming in is going to be Brian Gonzalez, who makes the grab for out number one. So we're just underway, 0-0 ball game between Kannapolis and Salem, and Andy Losey in the broadcast booth, joined alongside by Chelsea Raymer, part of our social media team here at Salem Memorial Ballpark. But hey, welcome to the broadcast booth. It's hopefully we were able to bring some good luck for the Salem Red Sox today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Thad Ward fires a pitch on the inside for ball number one. Of course, great for you to be here. Obviously, maybe bring some good vibes to the Salem Red Sox side as Cathell check swing, and the appeal down to the first baseline says it was no swing by Cath, and the count goes to 2-0. Chad Patterson, our home plate umpire today. Elliot Melton out on the base paths. Here's the 2-0 pitch by Thord, and it's swung on and missed by Cath for strike number one. Today, the Salem Red Sox are wearing their white baseball uniforms with the red lettering on the front, red numbering in the back, along with the white baseball pants. 2-1 pitch goes upstairs for ball three, and hitter's pitch coming up for West Cath. So, Chelsea, what have you seen so far this week as these two sides have played off?
Yeah, I've seen a huge battle. You know, this week it's really gone back and forth whenever I've gotten a chance to watch. You know, sometimes we'll be down a little bit, but we always seem to fight back really hard. I really like the battle on the mound. My favorite part so far is actually seeing Thaddeus Ward's first start, you know, just firing those pitches, you know, being down on the field and close or on the concourse. It was amazing. Just every time he threw it, as soon as it hit that glove, you heard the smack and then the umpire called strike. So that was probably the most exciting, and just hearing the fans excited to have him back. But I think just the battle these teams have put up this week together.
Absolutely. West Cath actually on a 3-1 pitch went a ground towards the right side and good enough for an infield single as Brandon Bonassi cannot make a play. So now Colby Smelly at the plate, and the first pitch by Ward is into the glove. You hear the smack that Chelsea was talking about for that called strike number one. So West Cath is the first base runner of the day for the Kannapolis Cannonballers. Here in the top of the first inning, a scoreless game between these two sides. 0-1 pitch on the way. Ward steps in, breaking ball into the zone, called strike number two. The Kannapolis Cannonballers uniform today, the blue uniforms with the red numbering on the front and the back with the white Kannapolis and cursive right baseball pants as well. 0-2 count, good start by Ward against the DH for Kannapolis, and Smelly check swing on a pitch upstairs for ball number one, and no appeal down to Melton, but it didn't look like Smelly went anyway. 1-2 count. Smelly in the batter's box and has an 11-game on-base streak for Kannapolis. Here's the 1-2 pitch, a grounder towards the left side, backhand play by Meyer, throws back over to second, and they cannot get the runner in time as Katz in the second safe, and into first is Colby Smelly. That will be another base hit within the infield for the Kannapolis Cannonballers, and runners on first and second, and the Cannonballers using an excellent start here on Sunday. Well, sometimes just the way the ball bounces, Chelsea, and that last two at-bats, it just was very conveniently placed by Cath and then Smelly. And sometimes we've seen it this week. It's not matter about how well you hit the baseball. It's just where you put the ball in the right spot.
Yeah, this week I feel like we've seen a lot of crazy plays. We got someone picked off at second or caught someone trying to steal third. So I think this week it's been kind of a roller coaster up and down of you know, us making mistakes and then getting back on track and making those wild plays. So it's been really interesting to watch. I've seen a lot of things on the field that I have not seen yet this season.
Gladney at the batter's box will watch the strike number one get called and then fouls off the 0-1 pitch for strike number two. You mentioned it, some crazy plays. Four errors for the Salem Red Sox last night. Definitely a game to forget for the defensive side of the ball. And maybe this start hasn't been as smooth as Thad Ward has wanted to be. One out in the top of the first inning. Runners on first and second for Kannapolis, and Gladney will watch the 0-2 pitch miss upstairs for ball number one. Hard the order right now for Kannapolis has done their job. Captain the scoring position for the Cannonballers as Smelly had an infield single towards that left side. And now here's the 1-2 pitch to Gladney. He will rocket this one out towards center field. Moving back is going to be Lopez as he makes a grab for out number two. Tagging him from second is Kath. He is in the third. And the Cannonballers will have runners in the corners with two away. Best sounding baseball swings we have heard so far today, but it does result in an out. But the crisis is not averted just yet for Ward and the Red Sox. And actually, let's get you that defensive alignment right now for the Salem Red Sox. Out in left field, it is Brian Gonzalez. While in center field, it's Eduardo Lopez. And in right field, it's Darryl Bailyn. We'll get to the infield right after this first pitch as Thad Ward will now face Wilfred Verraz. Here's the first pitch, and Verraz watches it the whole way, and the breaker's in the zone for a called strike one. Edison Paulino at third base, Marcelo Meyer at shortstop, Brainer Bonassi at second, and Blaze Jordan at first. Behind the dish tonight for the Red Sox, it is Jose Garcia. 0-1 count, Ward steps in, and it's a called strike two, and Verraz can hardly believe it, as he thought it was just a bit too upstairs, and now the number five hitter in the Kannapolis order is down 0-2 in the count. O-2 pitch, Ward fires away, and Verraz foul tips it into the glove of Garcia for strike number three. Well, a tough start for Thad Ward in a second rehab start for the Salem Red Sox, but he is able to keep this game scoreless as we go to the bottom of the first. It'll be our first look at Jared Kelly, the Kannapolis pitcher, and the Salem Red Sox offense when we come back after this. We welcome you back to Salem Memorial Ballpark. 0-0 is our score between the Kannapolis Cannonballers and the Salem Red Sox. Our first look at the Red Sox offense as third baseman number 9, Edison Paulino, steps into the batter's box. First pitch on the way from Jared Kelly will go low and on outside for ball number 1. Second baseman number 19, Brainer Bonassi, bats second in the order. Shortstop number 10, Marcelo Meyer, bats third. First base number 24, Blaze Jordan, in the cleanup spot today. Here's the 1-0 pitch by Kelly. Paulino will watch it get called strike number one on the inside corner. Tonight's DH for the Red Sox, it's number 14, Tyler Miller. He bats fifth, followed by the center fielder, number 15, Eduardo Lopez. Here's the 1-1 pitch to Kelly, and Paulino will slap this up to the right side. Backhand play made by Atwood. Throw to first in time for the first out of the inning. And the last three of the order that we haven't mentioned, left fielder number 28, Brian Gonzalez, bats seventh. Catcher number three, Jose Garcia, bats eighth. And then rounding out the order, it's the right fielder of number 44, Darryl Bailin. So with one retired, Brandon Bonassi at the plate takes on the left-handed batter's box against the right-handed pitcher of Jared Kelly. And the first pitch goes upstairs for ball number one. Chelsea, tell us so far this season.
Yeah, so it looks like he has a 3.79 ERA. He started in all 12 games that he's played. He's had 32 strikeouts across 38 innings. Seems like he can be a little consistent. I feel like on any given day it can be one way or the other. He seems like he's been pretty solid for Kannapolis. So he's going against Ward, which I'm sure is tough because Ward, obviously, with his rehab start, he's played at higher levels. So I wonder if he's feeling any pressure just going up against someone who's done really well and can be really tough to compare to.
Obonasi will hit a 1-1 pitch right over the third baseman to Kath, who makes it look easy on the glove side, and a throw to first is in there for out number two. Hey, it could be a little intimidating, but when you have a defense that Jared Kelly has, it can be really easy. Already seen two ground outs, one going to Atwood, one going to Kath, and it's two up, two down here in the first.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think when a pitcher has a solid team behind him, you know, even if he has a rocky start or maybe not such a great day, it's easy to get back on track and kind of get your head back in the game and really focus when you've got that team behind you. That's really solid.
So first pitch by Kelly will be fouled off by Marcelo Meyer right back towards the Salem Red Sox dugout. And talking about that defense, let's take a look at it. Benny B. Bailey out at left field, Misael Gonzalez at center field, and in right field today, it's DJ Gladney. Here's the 0-1 pitch to Marcelo Meyer, stepped in and fouled straight back into the screen for strike number two. West Kath at third base, at shortstop, it's Wilbur Sanchez, Andy Atwood at second base, and Wilfred Veraz at first, and we're going to see Nick Thornquist for the first time this week. He's behind the plate, and Jared Kelly making his first start of the week for Kannapolis. Here's the 0-2 pitch to Meyer upstairs for ball number one. Meyer, a 291 hitter on the season, 8 home runs, 34 RBIs. He picked up his 8th home run earlier this week back on that series opener on Tuesday night that was finished on Wednesday. Here's the 1-2 pitch to Meyer, and he holds on a pitch that just misses low for ball number two. And Kelly thought he had strike dugout, still seeking his first strikeout of the day. Deuces wild now. 2 balls, 2 strikes with 2 away in the 0-0 ball game. Pitch on the way to Meyer. Rips this one. Blooper up to Sanchez and goes over the glove for the first base hit for Salem. It's a 2-out single for Marcelo Meyer. And number 10 is aboard in his first at-bat of the day. Meyer didn't put a whole lot of power on it, but just enough height to go over Wilbur Sanchez, who isn't one of the tallest shortstops in the Carolina League, only stands at 5'10", but that one would have cleared maybe even O'Neill Cruz of the Pittsburgh Pirates. It did enough of a job right there. So Blaze Jordan at the plate with Marcelo Meyer at first. We'll see if the Red Sox are able to build on this 2-out rally. First pitch is low and away, and an excellent backhanded stop by Thornquist to make sure it doesn't get towards the backstop. And Blaze Jordan has been a phenomenal player for the Salem Red Sox side, .294 batting average this year. 8 home runs, just like Marcelo Meyer, and just a little bit more in the RBIs as he sits at 45. Kelly takes a look in, steps in and fires the 1-0, and Jordan will swing and miss for strike number one. And Chelsea, Blaze Jordan being honored earlier this week, I believe on Friday night, honored as the Salem Red Sox Player of the Month back for June. Back-to-back months that Jordan's able to take home that title. He's just such an X factor for this Red Sox side.
Yeah, it's amazing. He's been, you know, selected as Player of the Month and gotten all these recognitions. He definitely has earned them. He's very consistent for the Red Sox. Occasionally, he seems to have his up and downs as well, but I think he's really consistent, and he's kind of the go-to guy that you can count on in the lineup. I think it's cool, you know, he's out here after being drafted last year and kind of getting a taste of minor league ball towards the end of the season, so it's nice to see him doing really well after being here.
Hot shot to West Kath, who fields it perfectly, and the throw to Atwood at second in time to get the lead runner of Meyer, and that will close off the inning. So after one here in Salem, 0-0 between Kannapolis and the Red Sox. When we come back, Benjamin Bailey will lead things off for the Cannonballers in the second. We welcome you back to the second inning here at Salem Memorial Ballpark. 0-0 ball game as Benjamin Bailey will foul up the first pitch over the screen and towards the concourse for strike number one. So through one inning of play, we've seen both sides collect the base hit so far, but no one's been able to really score just yet as Bailey will sit on a 0-1 number one. Two hits for Kannapolis in the top of the first inning, one hit for the Red Sox in the bottom half of the inning. Ward goes again with the fastball, but this misses outside and low for ball number two. So the Cannonballers with the win today can go back-to-back on the win column, but also split the series on the road against the Salem Red Sox. 2-1 pitch on the Bailey, and that one is a breaking ball that catches the bottom half for a called strike number two. 325 to the left field wall, 325 to the right field wall, 401 to straightaway center. Not much wind in the area today. 2-2 pitch to Bailey, and he started the swing but held back, and no appeal by Garcia, as the count will now run full. Bailey had a good day yesterday for Kannapolis, started off the day with a pair of singles and a 2-4 on the evening. Here's the 3-2 pitch, and Bailey a chopper that will bang off his left foot. He seems to be A-OK, and we'll do the 3-2 count once again. It will be Bailey, Gonzalez, and Thornquist here in the top of the second inning. So the 6-7 part of the order for the visiting Kannapolis side. 3-2 pitch on the way, and this one is a called strike three on the outside of the plate, and Bailey started taking some steps down the line and put his hands on his hips and looked back at the umpire and was like, really? Is that really strike three? It is, and Thad Ward starts off the second inning exactly how he closed off the first with a punch out.
I'm impressed with Ward being able to, you know, kind of still punch out these batters, as, you know, this team has seen his stuff before and kind of getting a little familiar with it. So it's exciting to see that Ward during his rehab starts is still doing really well.
First pitch on the way to Misael Gonzalez, and there's another strike call. It's a breaking ball. It's 78 miles per hour. Yeah, I mean, Ward was playing at a phenomenal pace, and he does so again here today as the 0-1 pitch goes upstairs for ball number one. I remember, right, it was Tuesday, and we were thinking to ourselves, okay, some rain might come in the area around 8 o'clock, but, like, there's no way we're going to get to even close to the official game time as the 1-1 pitch is a called strike two. But the way that he was pitching, I mean, it's electric, guys. I mean, he's not really used to the pitch clock all that much. I asked him a question about that previously in the week, and so pitch clock is not a problem for him at all.
Yeah, when we were getting ready to pull tarp, it looks like the players did not want to get off the field. He was on a hot streak. He did not want to get off the mound.
1-2 pitch goes outside for ball number two, and that's what it is. You know, Thad Ward trying to get back up to Double-A Portland, and the 2-2 pitch misses away for ball number three. Always tough with Tommy John surgery. It sets back some pitchers a bit, and, you know, you're always fearful that Maybe after the surgery, they'll never be the same. Ward, though, looking pretty sharp out on the mound. 3-2 pitch on the way, and he gets Gonzalez a swing and miss. It's three straight strikeouts for Thad Ward, and it starts off with back-to-back punchouts to start the second.
Yeah, he's looking really good. I love how he has – it looks like he has a lot of confidence. You know, after a strikeout, he walks off the mound, and he knows what he's doing, just punching them out one by one.
Well, here's a batter that he has not faced yet, though, Nick Thornquist, as there's been two outs so far, and a 204 hitter for Kannapolis will watch the first pitch just miss outside for ball number one. I can see this series so far. The outside corners of the plates have been, especially for the pitchers so far, as the 1-0 pitch breaks into the zone for a called strike one. One home run, seven RBIs this season for Nick Thornquist. The catcher today for Kannapolis. 1-1 pitch, a swing and a miss as it hits off the glove of Garcia and rolls back towards the on-deck circle of the Salem Red Sox. Pretty good crowd today. I was not expecting a lot of people to come today with the weather that was coming in, but still a pretty good showing today as the 1-2 pitch is just outside for ball number two. Just as goes to show the faithful Red Sox fans before the four-day break. The all-star break, quote-unquote. No all-star game in the Carolina League, though. 2-2 pitch, and he got him to swing and miss for strike number three. Hey, Thad Ward just struck out the side for a 1-2-3 frame, and we go to the bottom of the second with a scoreless game between the Kannapolis Cannonballers and the Salem Red Sox. We welcome you back to Salem Memorial Ballpark. Bottom of the second inning, Tyler Miller set to lead things off as the designated hitter takes the first pitch for a called strike number one. Tyler Miller at first base yesterday, taking on the DH role today. It will also be Eduardo Lopez and Brian Gonzalez here in the second. Here's the 0-1 pitch to Tyler Miller, and this is jammed foul over the netting and just... So no base hits by Kannapolis in the top of the second inning, and Thad Ward just looked a lot more sharp on the mound. Four strikeouts now on the day. 0-2 pitch, Kelly steps in. Miller check swing pitch just upstairs for ball number one. Good take by Tyler Miller. And we look at the second half records coming into today. Kannapolis actually with the lead out in the Carolina League South Division of a 13-7 record. Here's the 1-2 pitch to Miller. And it goes upstairs for ball number two. Meanwhile, for the Salem Red Sox, back to 500. 10 wins, 10 losses. You know, you always want to be a 10 out of 10, but not when it shows the record like that. Here's the 2-2 pitch to Miller as it pops this one up deep towards center field. And charging is Gonzalez, and he makes the grab for out number one. Three groundouts in the first inning by the Red Sox, and they're able to make contact. That's the first pop-up so far of the day. And it comes at the expense of Tyler Miller. So we see Eduardo Lopez come to the plate. Did not play last night for the Salem Red Sox. And he is now into the lineup today, number 6 in the order. Steps in the left-handed batter's box as well. First pitch, and the fastball misses low and inside at 95 miles per hour for ball number 1. And Chelsea, it's just really this Kannapolis side, kind of the beauty of that first half, second half of the Carolina League season. You really get a reset around that late July time. 1-0 pitch, Lou Lopez goes over the netting and into the seats for strike number 1. Red Sox with the reset, though, they weren't as sharp coming into the series, but they can exit this series with the winning record and enjoy a nice 4-day break.
Yeah, I remember, you know, we were waiting to see if we had won the first half or if Lynchburg had, and I remember the boys were a little disappointed about not being able to clinch the first half, and so now I think they have a little bit of fire in them wanting to get that. So I know, you know, we're 10-10 right now, but it's still, there's a lot of ball left to be played, and I think they're really motivated, and I think they want to make the playoffs, and I think their spirit definitely shows it.
Absolutely. I mean, there's some players that have been promoted to High A Greenfield, Eduardo Lopez.
Yeah, talking to Coach Montz, I know they have a really young team, and he's expecting a lot of them to step up now that, you know, Nico Cavadas and Nathan Hickey are gone. And so I think that's an adjustment in itself, trying to see the players, the new guys work together. So I think this team has done really well with what they, you know, have been thrown at them with new guys and guys moving up. So I think they're doing really well.
Juju pitch to Lopez, and this one gets him looking on the bottom inside corner for the strike 3 call. And it's the first punch out of the day for Jared Kelly of Kannapolis. And it's 2-up, 2-down to start off the frame. And now we'll see left fielder number 28, Brian Gonzalez. It's actually one of the beauties of being single A, talking about the young team. You're going to stay young at single A. You're going to stay with these young, hungry players that want to make a difference in this organization. I mean, we saw that in the last 2 weeks of that chase towards the end of the first half of the season with Delmarva in the Fredericksburg series, as the first pitch is a called strike 1 by Brian Gonzalez. It's really fun, though. It really does, and that team was really into it, and now they're at Greenville, and some of them are playing phenomenal. Nico Cavadas is keeping it up, and, you know, they get to learn off of these playoff chases in the middle of the season to help them out. Pitch goes low and away for ball number 1, and the count's even at 1-1.
Yeah, I think having young players can be kind of a double-edged sword because a lot of them are excited, they're hungry, they want to do well, but on the other side, a lot of them are young, and they're still kind of learning. I know sometimes it can be coming into that maturity and just being a pro ball player for the first time. So I think with our team, they're all really, you know, hungry to do better and they want to be the best. And I love to see that and how determined they are. But, you know, sometimes I think it can go on the flip side a little bit.
That ball was spiked into the dirt for ball number 2. Here's a 2-1 to Gonzalez. A slow roll that stays fair down the third base side. Thornquist picks it up, fires it over to first, and he does not get him in time. It's an infield single for Brian Gonzalez. And it's another 2-out base hit by the Salem Red Sox. And good hustle by Gonzalez. And a nice slow roller about 10 to 15 feet down the third base side. And a bare hand grab by Thornquist. And he made it even close at first. I thought initially the catcher had no chance of getting the throw down in time. But he kept it interesting. But Gonzalez. And this is a man I've really enjoyed so far at Salem. As Garcia will fire the first pitch out towards right field. It lands and goes to the wall. Gladney slips up in the warning track. Gonzalez gets a turn at third. Garcia into second, and Gonzalez scores. It's a 2-out RBI double for Jose Garcia. 12th RBI on the season. And it's a 1-0 Salem Red Sox lead. Well, I was just going to start talking how much I love Brian Gonzalez, but I think I love Jose Garcia a little bit more right now as he opens up the offense here for the Red Sox. And Gonzalez, I mean, he is a guy that I have trusted so much at seeing how he can get some base hits going for the Salem side, and he just scores the game's opening run.
Yeah, he seems to be doing well with a .273 average, 1 home run already, and 7 RBI since he's been here. I know he wasn't here the whole season, but he seems like he's meshed really well.
Absolutely, and maybe the bottom of the order right now can be this offensive fuel of the game. The number 7 guy keeps getting it going, and the number 8 guy drives him home. Darryl Bailey at the plate, the last Salem Red Sox batter we have not seen at the plate today, takes the first pitch for a called strike number 1. 1-0 ball game as Kelly fires away, and Balin reaps this out towards center field, moving back to the warning track and making the grab as Misael Gonzalez put to an end to the frame. But Jose Garcia starts off the day for the Salem Red Sox offense with an RBI double with two outs on the board. It's Salem 1, it's Kannapolis 0. Third inning up next. Welcome back to Salem, Virginia. 1-0 Red Sox lead as Wilbur Sanchez shows bunt on the first pitch and is called for strike number one. The 9-1-2 part of the order here for Kannapolis in the third inning as the 0-1 pitch to Sanchez is fouled straight back into the screen for strike number two. So the Red Sox are the first team aboard thanks to Jose Garcia's RBI double with two outs back in the second. Now they try to preserve that one-run lead. Here's the 0-2 pitch as Sanchez reaches it up and pops it down the right side of the field as it gets out of play down the first base side and will stay at 0-2. So we got Sanchez and the top of the order with Andy Atwood and Wes Kath. A big inning ahead for Thad Ward, who's on the mound. The 0-2 pitch, and Sanchez will bat this one foul right over by the first base dugout and almost one of our close one right there by the Kannapolis dugout, but I think she's going to get a free souvenir thanks to Wilbur Sanchez.
Yeah, it's nice to see these hitters are kind of battling against Ward now.
0-2 pitch to Sanchez. It's another foul ball into the screen for it to stay at 0-2, and Sanchez is a brilliant at-batter when it comes to trying to fight to stay alive. He had a 12-pitch at-bat yesterday against Hunter Dobbins. Definitely added to his pitch count as Ward will fire the 0-2 pitch low and away for ball number one. We've seen Sanchez at the top of the order and the bottom of the order. At the bottom today for Kannapolis. But you can just tell he's a perfect leadoff guy. I mean, maybe not the best batting average, but he does get to help the team show what Ward has in the arsenal. The 1-2 pitch misses away for ball number two. Nobody out so far in the top of the third inning. A 1-0 Salem Red Sox lead. Here's the 2-2 pitch. Sanchez will reach far enough and is called for strike number three. He thought he did stop it in time, but he did not. And he went far enough for Chad Patterson. And now it's five straight strikeouts for Thad Ward. And the top of the order now up for Kannapolis.
Yeah, Sanchez did not look happy. You see him turn his head, get really upset. He did not like that call.
Andy Atwood at the plate, and he's called for strike number one on the breaker. You know those batters, they try every ounce of their body to hold back on the check swing, and when they do it, they're like, oh, please don't call it on me, and that time it just did. Atwood puts up the 0-1 pitch foul down the first base side to the concourse for strike number two, and Ward has done a really good job with this so far. He gets the batters in early deficits, just like he did against Sanchez, right here with Atwood. A swing and a miss for strike number three. It's six straight punch-outs for Thad Ward, and he is just on fire right now for the Salem Red Sox.
Yeah, he's starting to look how he did the first start he had here, just punching him out one by one. I feel at the beginning of this game, the hitters are really starting to battle against him, get his pitch count up, but now he seems like he's really rocking and rolling.
So Adler drop at the plate, takes the first pitch for ball number one. Gath recorded a single his last time up, so a one-of-one day for the sole left-handed batter in the order for the Cannonballers. Here's the 1-0 pitch. It spikes in front of home plate for ball number two. So we had four strikeouts in the first game for the Salem Red Sox. And now he has six today, so make that 10 strikeouts in about 5 2/3 innings of work. As Ward fires a 2-0 pitch that misses low and inside for ball number three. It's Wilford Veras, Benjamin Bailey, Misael Gonzalez, Nick Thornquist, Wilbur Sanchez, and Andy Atwood. But now Thad Ward on four pitches walks Wes Kath, and the number two batter in the Kannapolis order will get a free pass in the third. So the strikeout streak comes to an end for Thad Ward, but now he tries to get out of the inning against a part of the lineup where he struggled his last time up, where Wes Kath, we just mentioned, had a single in his first at-bat. But Colby Smelly had a single as well, so he's able to see what happens here in the third inning. First pitch of the at-bat to Smelly, a grounder down the third base side. It will dance foul for strike number one. 1-0, the Salem Red Sox lead the Kannapolis Cannonballers on this series finale, the six-game series. Be our last six-game series at Salem Memorial Ballpark until early August when the Fayetteville Woodpeckers come to town. August 2nd through August 7th. Here's the 0-1 pitch to Smelly, and the fastball is a called strike one on the inside corner.
I think it's always interesting when you play a new team as well. This is the first time we're facing Kannapolis, so I feel like you can only watch so much film and see so many stats before you actually get in there and you really play against them and, you know, for the pitchers to face them and their pitchers to face us.
Exactly. The 0-2 pitch goes upstairs for ball number one. It's always refreshing to see new teams. And I remember Salem Red Sox fans last year, they got to see the Lynchburg Hillcats, the Fredericksburg Nationals, and Delmarva Shoreboards way too many times last year as time is called by Colby Smelly at the plate. This year, though, the Carolina League schedule is a lot more friendly. We're going to see new teams coming to town like Charleston, Myrtle Beach, and now Kannapolis. Here's the 1-2 pitch to Smelly. He's fouled straight up. Will it stay in play? It will be. And Garcia makes the catch for out number three. Didn't know if Garcia was going to run into the netting or not, but he does come down with the baseball for out number three. And so Thad Ward gets two strikeouts in the frame, and Kannapolis strands one base runner with the runner of Wes Kath at first. Well, we'll see if the Red Sox can build onto their 1-0 lead when we come back on MILB.TV. Welcome back to Salem Memorial Ballpark, top of the order for the Salem Red Sox as they lead the Kannapolis Cannonballers by the score of 1-0. Edison Paulino at the plate will swing up the first pitch and pop it up towards the left field side. Charging on in is Bailey out towards foul territory, reaching up, and he made the grab. What a catch by Benjamin Bailey. He came in hot, and I actually don't know how he was able to make this grab. He made it by his knees in stride, and I think almost all of his teammates are surprised as well as he came down with this one. Look at this for your viewing audience.
Oh, yeah. Wow, that was very close to the ground. He looks like his glove was very close to the ground. That was impressive.
Just in stride as well, tracking it down, moving at that speed. I mean, Bailey, what a grab there for the first out of the inning as Bonassi will foul the first pitch into the screen for strike number one. You almost got to tip the cap if you're Edison Paulino. I know it wasn't maybe, you know, going to go the distance or you robbed a home run, but, man, that was a spectacular grab to get this inning going.
Yeah, so, I would definitely tip my cap, too. That was impressive for him to lunge like that. I'm surprised he did not fall over. If it were me, I would have definitely fallen over.
There's a reason why he's out there and we're up here.
That's fair.
The 0-1 pitch goes low and away for ball number one. Count even at 1-1. Pitch on the way to Bonassi, and it goes low for ball number two. So pretty good showing so far for Kelly through the first time of the order. He gives up 3 base hits and 1 earned run with the Jose Garcia RBI double. But besides that, he's pitching pretty well. 1 strikeout to his name, and he's been able to retire plenty of batters as the 2-1 pitch is into the zone for a called strike number two.
Yeah, now that the Red Sox order is getting kind of a second look at him, hopefully their bats will start to come alive a little bit.
0-1 for Bonassi today, looking to try to change that around. 2-2 pitch to Bonassi, and this is shot down the left field side and hooking foul over the Roanoke Times Pavilion out in left field. Two-two is the kick to the plate. He kicks, steps, and fires away. 2-2, hot shot grounder. It's scooped up by Sanchez, takes a step in, throw to first, is on the money for out number two. Second ground out of the game for Brainerd Bonassi. First time was up the West Cath, this time over to Sanchez. And now we drop down the order to Marcelo Meyer. 1-1 today, got the first hit for the Red Sox back in that first inning. He was stranded out on the base paths as Blaze Jordan grounded out in that first inning. He's looking to try to get aboard once again.
Yeah, I've been impressed with Meyer a lot so far this season. You know, he's young. You know, it's his first year in pro ball, so I'm really impressed how he's really stood out this season and handled himself really well. Even just talking to him, he's very mature, very professional.
First pitch on the way to Meyer is fouled up towards our left side for strike number one, and that's the thing that everyone really kind of recognizes from Marcelo Meyer. They're like, wow, this guy's actually, you know, very nice individual, 19 years old, 0-1 pitch. Meyer fouls it off for strike number two, and you know, he knows his worth. He's one of the top prospects here in the Boston Red Sox organization. Top 10 in all of Major League Baseball. But you can tell he's really embracing his time here in Salem. And he's had his highs. He's had his lows. But consistently, though, on that 300 neighborhood. And when you're around that mark in baseball, you're doing a great job indeed. But down 0-2 in the count, he has to try to fight back as Kelly has got him cooking. 0-2 pitch. Meyer pops it up. This one a little closer to us, but just to the left again. And we'll stay at an 0-2 count. Base paths clear as the Salem Red Sox lead 1-0 over the Kannapolis Cannonballers.
Yeah, I think my favorite part is he and Blaze as well. They're really good at signing autographs and taking the time to recognize the fans. I really like that. It's nice to see how humble they are.
Meyer slaps his one out towards right field, bangs off the wall, going back to first base is Meyer as Veraz did not get the tag in time, but Meyer hit a line drive out towards right field. And it collided off the Fishwick and Associates sign out in right field, and it took an odd hop back. And Meyer was thinking too, but the throw in from Gladney to Atwell was so on the money that Meyer was almost caught in his tracks. So he will just settle 2-of-2 today with a pair of singles. And you were just talking about Blaze Jordan signing autographs. So look who's at the plate right now. It's Blaze Jordan as the first pitch misses low and away for ball number one. Grounded out his first time up. Also a 19-year-old kid. And funny enough, both of these players right now were selected in the 2020 MLB draft. Kelly going the second round, Jordan going the third round. Here's the fastball at the 1-0 pitch. Misses just out in the zone, actually, for strike number one. Obviously a big day today as well and all across Major League Baseball. the 2022 MLB draft beginning in about just over an hour.
Yeah, I think draft day is my favorite day just to see teams, who they select, and where the players are, and to see who the Red Sox get this year, I think is really exciting.
1-1 pitch goes upstairs and away for ball number two. It'll be a while, though, until the Boston Red Sox are on the clock. They're the 24th overall pick this year. And that first round, not as high as last year with number four, where they got Marcelo Meyer. 2-1 pitch to Jordan. This goes low for ball number three, and the count is at 3-1.
I believe Marcelo was one of the highest first-round draft picks Boston's had in a while.
It's been you know what? You stump me now because I remember what it was. It was like their first top 10 pick in like over years, and yeah. I think they spent it on a very valuable asset of their future. Hitter's pitch to Jordan. He will take a hack on it and foul it straight back for strike number two. I mean, Boston Red Sox organization throughout my lifetime and have been pretty successful.
Yeah.
They've won four World Series in my lifetime. So, you know, they don't get the pick up there that much when they're winning that many ball games. Having a tough end to the quote-unquote first half of the season as they are losing today to the Yankees, though, up at Yankee Stadium. 3-2 pitch on the way. Runner goes, but the pitch is low and away for ball number four. And Blaze Jordan will get a free pass as he jogs on down to first. So Meyer moves to second base. Now Jordan is at first, and the designated hitter, Tyler Miller, will come up to the plate. John Ely, the pitching coach for the Kannapolis Cannonballers, will walk on down to talk with Jared Kelly and the Kannapolis infield. So it's a one Cannonballers. We mentioned that Jose Garcia was the man to break open this game, and Tyler Miller is in a pretty good position as well. And we're talking a little bit about these young players and what they've been able to do here so far. Meyer being 19 years old, Jordan being 19 years old, but Miller also here with Salem last season, had a little bit of a stretch with the Red Sox, came back for the start of 2022, hit well at the beginning, but he's kind of had a bumpy road, and it seems like every time that he comes up to the plate, something big can happen for Miller, and he just seems to be also one of these guys that we'll love to see get going for this Red Sox side.
Yeah, it's amazing, you know. He's been kind of up and down this season, but I think he's definitely still one to watch and keep your eyes on. You know, with Nico Cavadas and everything, you know, moving up to Greenville, I think he's going to be that guy that could potentially kind of take his spot and do really well. I think he just kind of needs to get going a little bit. I know he struggled here and there, but I think with Nico gone and Hickey gone, it's his time to shine.
First pitch was outside for ball one. Pitch number two was swung on and missed for strike number one. So even count for Tyler Miller. I mean, there's been some great moments of Miller's season so far. I mean, we all look back to that last home game against the Lynchburg Hillcats in May with that walk-off home run to win the game. Great power hitter for the Red Sox. 9 home runs, 31 RBIs this season. 1-1 pitch is low and inside, and the breaking ball misses for ball number two. Miller popped up towards the center fielder, Misael Gonzalez, his first time up back in the second. He's got Marcelo Meyer at second base, Blaze Jordan at first for the Red Sox. Sam looking to try to build on their one-run lead. Kelly steps in on the 1-0 pitch, and Miller will take it, and it misses low for ball number three. And now hitter's pitch is coming up for Tyler Miller.
Yeah, I think, too, with any of these guys, a lot of them are looking to step up and kind of take that role of filling Nico and Hickey's shoes. So Miller, I definitely think, is one to watch. But I think there's a lot of other guys that are wanting to step up and kind of do their part.
Miller chopper towards the first base side. A backhand made by Veraz. He's able to touch first for out number three. So the Salem Red Sox strand two base runners on the inning. Kannapolis as we move into the middle innings here at Salem Memorial Ballpark. Welcome back to Salem Memorial Ballpark, top of the fourth inning, a 1-0 Salem Red Sox lead over the Kannapolis Cannonballers. And Chelsea Raymer in the first three, now we're joined alongside by Crescenzo Fano. I say that right, correct?
Yes, I know you deal with names all the time, so I understand the difficulty. I appreciate you having me on.
No problem, Crescenzo. Glad to have you on here. 1-0 Red Sox lead. New pitcher into the ballgame for Salem as Graham Hoffman steps in and replaces Thad Ward. Starts against DJ Gladney, who will watch the first pitch miss outside for ball number one, and then foul tips the 1-0 pitch into the glove of Garcia for strike number one. 1-1 count, Garcia sending the pitch. Hoffman firing away, grounder by Gladney over to Marcelo Meyer. A little bit of a mishandled there by Meyer, but the throw to Blaze Jordan is on the money for out number one.
Hoffman, I know, has a 3.80 ERA in 15 games. Really has been a solid guy in our bullpen and is really coming along in, as he gets more and more experience in the Salem uniform.
Able to get that first out right there. You mentioned that Hoffman was also a pitcher that was used by Salem earlier this week. First pitch to Verraz, a blooper down the right field line. It falls for a base hit. It's going to be a one-out single for Wilfred Verraz, who struck out swinging his last time up, gets aboard with a hit. And for the Kannapolis Cannonballers, that is the first base hit since Colby Smelly back in the first inning. It's been a tough go for their offense so far today, and Kannapolis this series, and when they've been on, they've been good, but there's a lot of times where they have been off offensively, and it's kind of hurt them in many of these games.
I know that Salem has also hurt themselves with some of their fielding mishaps. However, they got to just keep going. Each day is a new day, and they can't let the previous error affect them for the next game. And some of them have, I've been listening to your broadcast, it's where you're hitting it, and a lot of the times they're very tough plays, and Salem, I think, tries a little bit too much to get the play figured out, but right now they just need to focus on getting one out at a time.
Absolutely. So far, so good. Clean game. No errors just yet. Knock on wood, though, as Wilfred Verraz is on at first. This is going to be a very common pattern that we're going to go up in. 0-1 batters, strikeout swinging. That's what Bailey did last time up because Ward dominated the bottom half of the order as Bailey will foul back the 0-1 pitch for strike number two.
I know Thad Ward, we had an interview with him, and I was a pleasure being with you for that interview, and he even said, I didn't really see the pitch clock. Again, the same thing, just going on his own pace.
0-2 pitch for Hoffman. He steps in and fires, and Bailey will swing and miss for strike number three, and Hoffman has his first punch out of the day and makes it two away here in the fourth. So now Misael Gonzalez, the next batter up for the Kannapolis Cannonballers, and for strikeouts, you make that now seven against Kannapolis so far today. This Cannonballers side has struggled greatly this season when it comes to trying to hit the ball. And sometimes they hit the ball very well. They lead the Carolina League with the most home runs this season, but they also lead the league with the most strikeouts. As Misael Gonzalez will foul off the first pitch towards the backstop for strike number one. Gonzalez, 0-1, strikeout swing in his first time up back in the second inning. The center fielder today looks to try to become more of a staple for this Kannapolis side over the next week or so, as we saw Logan Glass get moved to the injury list today, as the 0-1 pitch will go upstairs for ball number one. The count is even of one ball and one strike.
Hoffman has 22 strikeouts and 10 walks going into the game today. Obviously that one, now he's at 23-10, which is a pretty good ratio.
Here's the 1-1 pitch, a grounder towards the third base side. Dance is foul for strike number two, and the count goes to 1-2.
And one thing about this team that I know with my experience of being close around them, they are a super nice ball club. They all generally love to be here, and that's a great thing to have as an organization, finding those right personalities.
And that's a big thing about it as well for this Boston Red Sox side. 1-2 pitch, and Gonzalez check swing, and the Elliot Melton said he did not go at the every Beleagle Credit Union Play of the Game post-game interviews have been special. Started doing some Sox Talks episodes this week. Great people to sit down with, including manager Luke Mons. I mean, you know, Luke Mons is a great guy to talk to as well, and you can tell it kind of goes off on the players as well, as Gonzalez will swing and miss for strike number three, and back-to-back punch-outs by Graham Hoffman close off the top of the fourth inning. So the Red Sox continue the lead 1-0. Strikeouts like that have been the galore so far today for the Salem Red Sox. And the bottom of the fourth inning is up next here on MILB.TV. Welcome back to Salem Memorial Ballpark, bottom of the fourth inning, as the Salem Red Sox lead the Kannapolis Cannonballers 1-0. Jared Kelly still out on the run in the second. He has pitched very well for the visiting Cannonballers side. And in this fourth inning, Kelly will go against Eduardo Lopez, Brian Gonzalez, and Jose Garcia, the 6-7 part of the order. This was the part of the order that was able to crack Kelly their first time through, and we'll see what's able to happen their second time through here in the fourth. First pitch by Kelly is going to be fired away to Lopez and called strike number one on the inside corner at 93 miles per hour. And we look at what Jared Kelly has done this year, and he's been in very unfortunate situations, an 0-4 win-loss record, but a 3.79 ERA as he fires the 0-1 pitch that misses inside for ball number one. Looking at that last outing against Carolina on July 10th, allowed only two hits, one walk, two strikeouts, and five innings of work. Got the no decision as Lopez rips the 1-1 pitch out towards right field, but right into the body of DJ Gladney as he makes the catch for the innings opening out.
You know, speaking of Jared Kelly, he is a former second-round pick, 47th overall, and I know you were speaking a little bit earlier about picks for the Salem Red Sox when the last time they were in the top 10. The last time was a former Red Sox, Andrew Benintendi, Kansas City Royal, might go back to the Red Sox. You never know. He might be back with their organization. The last time they were in the top five was in 1967.
It's a crazy time since the last time they were up there, as the first pitch to Brian Gonzalez misses low and away, and that helped us out in our earlier conversation. We were stumped on where Marcelo Meyer was in history of the Boston Red Sox organization. Is the 1-0 pitch, a slow roller back towards the mound. Kelly scoops it up, and the throw to Veras is in time for out number two. So two quick outs so far in the fourth inning, with a fly out towards right field from Lopez, and now a ground out by Gonzalez right back up to the pitcher. And here's the man that's responsible for the Salem Red Sox 1-0 lead. It's Jose Garcia. The catcher for Salem drove in his 12th run this season, a 188 batter for the Salem Red Sox. Great to see him get going today in the order, as the first pitch is called strike number one on the outside half. And big day for minor league baseball with the 2022 Major League Baseball draft today, as the 0-1 pitch misses upstairs for ball number one, rounds one and two tonight. You're going to have the Boston Red Sox picking at number 24 for their first pick. And they have the second pick of the second round, which I believe is number 41, as Garcia will swing and miss on the 1-1 pitch, and he'll be into the dirt for strike number two. So when there's not minor league baseball, there will be opportunity for you to watch the MLB draft. First two rounds, I believe, are broadcast on ESPN, MLB Network, and MLB.com today. 1-2 pitch on the way to Garcia. Fastball misses upstairs for ball number two. Remember, in 2020, they only did five rounds for the MLB draft, and they restructured the whole entire MLB draft from here on out It will be 20 rounds. That was last year as well as this year. And then on Monday and Tuesday as well, 3 full days of MLB draft. Here's the 2-2 pitch to Garcia, and the pitch goes low and away for ball number three. And, you know, it's a little exciting. You never really know if any of these guys might be able to come up to the Salem Red Sox this season. I mean, we got to see Tyler Miller drafted in the ninth round of the 2021 draft, still was able to make an appearance at Salem towards the tail end of the season. 3-2 pitch for Jose Garcia. Kelly steps in. Garcia, a chopper, grounder over the shortstop. It's scooped up by Sanchez, and the throw to Veraz is in time. It's a 1-2-3 inning by Jared Kelly, his first of the day, and he keeps it a 1-0 Salem Red Sox lead as we go into the fifth. Welcome you back to the top of the fifth inning. The Salem Red Sox lead the Kannapolis Cannonballers 1-0 as Gabriel Jackson's the new pitcher into the game for the Salem Red Sox. And Crescenzo, tell us a little bit about what Gabriel Jackson's been able to do so far this year for Salem.
I know he's been struggling. He has a 5-7 record with a 5.34 ERA and 60 innings pitched, giving up 66 hits, allowing 41 runs, and it seems like sometimes that he's either really on or really off. He just needs to find a consistency in his approach. And once he does, he really has great stuff.
Nick Thornquist, Wilbur Sanchez, and Andy Atwood to bat for Kannapolis here in the fifth. As the first pitch misses low and away for ball number one, Thornquist 0-1 so far today with the strikeout swinging back in the second. Jackson fires the 1-0 pitch, and this is a hard chopper over to Marcelo Meyer. Two hops in the shortstop's glove, and the throw to Jordan is there for out number one.
One thing about Jackson, he's a flash starter. He's in 16 games. However, he has 9 starts to his resume so far this year. So I think it's better off with a guy that is a little bit struggling, maybe just give him an inning or two, get his confidence back up. And once he does, then put him in that starting role.
And I think Jackson's win-loss record at one point was like 2-7. So to see the win start racking up for Jackson have been really good as he fires a pitch that misses low and away for ball number one against Wilbur Sanchez. And just like his last four predecessors, 0-1 night with a strikeout swinging. Here's a 1-0 pitch to Sanchez. Red hot shot out towards left field. Gonzalez charges in and makes the grab for out number one. Two. My apologies.
One thing about Gonzalez in left field is that he is deceptively fast for his size and stature. And we saw it earlier in the game when he beat out a really, really close play to get a base hit. He really does have a deceptive amount of speed.
He does it right there to get out number two of the inning. And now back to the top of the order with Andy Atwood. Shows bunt on the first pitch, and he fouls this one off. Or either it was into the dirt for ball number one. I think it's going to be the latter. It was into the dirt. He pulled away the barrel. It was like an odd hop at home plate. I thought he got a piece of the foul tip, but instead, it was just low for ball number one.
Yeah, curveball. Seems like it hit a little bit before home plate. So a weird bounce.
Jackson fires the 1-0 pitch away, and Atwood, this is a grounder that goes foul towards the Salem Red Sox on deck circle, and the count is now at 1-1. Atwood 0-2 today, a ground down the first inning, a strikeout swinging in the third. And he steps in and fires the 1-1, and this is fouled again by Atwood, almost at the same spot as the count drops to 1-2. Jackson trying to put the bow on a 1-2-3 inning. Here's the step and the delivery. Atwood red hot shot, and it gets right past Jordan's glove on a backhand attempt out towards right. It's a two-out single for Andy Atwood, and he's aboard for the first time today in the fifth.
It's just on the outskirts of Blaze's glove. Just missed it.
Yeah, it was a really hard ball to be played, and even though Jordan was playing a very good spot out in first base, he still was unable to make a stop with the glove. So Atwood keeps the inning going, and now Wes Kath, who has been a very successful batter for Kannapolis in the box today, takes the first pitch for a called strike one. One of one today with a single back in the first inning, but he does have another on-base appearance with a walk in the third. Here's the 0-1 pitch by Jackson. He steps and fires away, and Kath will put this down the first base side, but it will go foul for strike number two. So with that base hit from Andy Atwood, both teams now with four hits today.
Andy Atwood, he could steal a base here. He has five stolen bases on the year, but not a huge threat on the base path.
He goes on the 0-2. No, he stops, and Wes Kath will foul down the first base side. Began to motion towards second base, but his head stopped at the bag and made his way back to first base.
And Atwood, really one of their more solid hitters, 3-11 going into this game, really is a staple of this offense for the Cannonballers.
And Kath is number 6 overall prospect in the Chicago White Sox system per MLB Pipeline. And here's the 0-2 pitch to Kath. This is sent opposite field, and it drops for a base hit. Andy Atwood with a big turn at second, and he will hold at the base as Kath is in the thirst for his second single of the day. He is now 2-2, and a little two-out rally is in the works for the Kannapolis Cannonballers. So Kath continues to find a way to make his presence felt on the series. Not the best hitter when you take a look at that batting average, but on this Cannonballers side. And now we will get Colby Smelly, the designated hitter for the Cannonballers, who is 1-2 today, with a single in the first and then ended the third inning with a pop-up to Jose Garcia.
Smelly has 64 strikeouts on the year, so it's quite possible, like you were saying earlier, it's either a strikeout or a home run. He's one of those batters, 64 on the year so far with a 275 average going into today's game.
Boomer bust offense for the Cannonballers as the first pitch is a slider that misses low and away, and a good stop by Garcia to get the glove on the ball and hold Atwood at second and Kath at first. So the Red Sox do have a 1-0 lead over the Cannonballers, but that is in jeopardy as Kannapolis has two runners aboard. 1-0 count. Jackson fires away, and Smelly will swing at another slider as the count goes to 1-1. First one didn't bite Smelly, but the second one did.
Yeah, good slider outside. Really got Smelly confused there.
So an even count of 1-1 with 2 away. Jackson takes a long look at third and now fires the 1-1, and Smelly will put this one a hot shot over by the hot dog stand on the first base side for strike number two. A great place to eat at the ballpark is the hot dog stand. They always do hot dogs of the week. They say hot dog of the home stand, but every time they have a new hot dog here, so it's always worth coming out for each homestand as Smelly will foul this one up again down the first base side and into the seats as the count will stay at 1-2.
A good battle here. Jackson really needs a strikeout to get out of the inning. A little bit of a jam, 1-2. He's able to get a really big strikeout here.
So here's the 1-2 pitch by Jackson, and Smelly will put this one on the ground, but it will roll foul right over by the Red Sox dugout. And once again, a 1-2 pitch coming up for Smelly.
Smelly might not have a lot of home runs. However, he has 16. He's just right there. Right there for home runs. But he's a big double guy.
Yeah, he has 16 doubles, like you mentioned. Tied for the most on the team alongside DJ Gladney. Man, what a double would do here in the top of the fifth. 1-2 pitch, and Smelly will lift this up towards the right side, going towards no man's land, and coming in and making the catch is Daryl Balin for the third out of the inning. So Kannapolis strands two base runners in the top of the fifth inning and cannot break into this 1-0 deficit, of which the Salem Red Sox hold. When we come back for the bottom half of the fifth inning, it'll be 9-1-2 part of the order. The man who made the inning catch is a guy who will lead it off in the form of Daryl Balin. We welcome you back to Salem Memorial Ballpark. It is the bottom of the fifth inning, and the Salem Red Sox lead the Kannapolis Cannonballers 1-0 as Daryl Balin fouls off the first pitch into the screen for strike number one. It will be Balin, Paulino, and Bonassi all here in the bottom of the fifth. New pitcher in for Kannapolis as the 0-1 pitch is lifted up straight down the middle. It will be called off by Wilbur Sanchez, who will step in front of Andy Atwood to make the grab for out number one. So Crescendo, the new pitcher into the game, is Jesus Valles, the right-handed pitcher who stands at 6'3", 178 pounds, a free agent signee out of Venezuela who made as high as high A Winston-Salem last season. How has he been doing for the Cannonballers this year?
He has a 3.43 ERA in five games with one start in that in 21 innings. So he's done some pretty good work for the Cannonballers. He's only given up 17 hits. Not a lot of walks, not a lot of strikeouts. Obviously, he's still kind of early in the Cannonballers system, but he's going to keep getting better and better, it looks like.
First pitch of the at-bat was fouled by Paulino, and the next one is a basket catch made by Westcath. It's another brilliant grab by the left side of the defense for the Kannapolis Cannonballers as Westcath charges over in foul territory and makes the grab for out number two. And that is the second time that Edison Paulino has been retired due to a brilliant defensive play. Check it out. Westcath moving out to a foul territory. Just puts the glove up and makes the grab. I mean, there's NFL wide receivers who can't make that grab.
And it seemed like the shortstop was also going to try to make that grab too. Sliding in there, and I thought a collision might happen. But thank God no one really had any injuries on that play because that could have ended badly. But a nice little simple snag right there.
First pitch inside for Bonassi for strike one. Second one, not so much. Way outside for ball number one. So the count's even at 1-1 for Bonassi. 0-2 today with a pair of groundouts. First time was to Sanchez. Here's the 1-1 pitch to Bonassi. Check swing, and he goes through for a called strike number two. And Bonassi in the left-handed batter's box against the right-handed pitcher of Jesus Valles. Here's the 1-2 pitch. Bonassi will pop this up just towards our left side. Into the seats it goes, and will stay at 1-2.
Bonassi still without a home run throughout the season. Not really known for his power. However, he still has 24 RBIs. A good guy on the base path, so a real solid hitter.
1-2 pitch to Bonassi goes outside for ball number two. Looking at Valles, what he has done against left-handed batters this season has not been as successful, so we'll see what Bonassi is able to do as he swings and misses on the deuces wild pitch for strike number three, and Valles comes into the game and pitches a 1-2-3 inning, and he closes it off with a strikeout to bring up Bonassi, so we stay 1-0 in this pitcher's duel. Gabriel Jackson out for another inning of work when we come back to Salem Memorial Ballpark. Welcome back to Salem Memorial Ballpark. It is the top of the sixth inning as Gabriel Jackson will start things off against DJ Gladney. First pitch on the way to Gladney, a fastball that misses inside for ball number one. So 4-5-6 part of the order with Gladney, Verras, and Bailey all to bat against Gabriel Jackson of the Salem Red Sox. First pitch on the way will be swung on and missed for strike number one. And so after two pitches of the at-bat, it's now a 1-1 count to DJ Gladney. 0-2 so far, a pop-up back in the first inning, and a ground out in the fourth. Here's the 1-1 pitch. Gladney, a bouncer, over towards the left side, and it will go foul for strike number two. Top of the sixth inning, let's get you a Carolina League scoreboard whip-around as the Columbia Fireflies defeated the Downey Ducks 7-4 in the game that was played earlier today down in Kinston, North Carolina. 1-2 pitch to Gladney, and the fastball misses upstairs for ball number two. And with that win, the Downey Ducks drop to 12-8 on the second half of the season, while the Columbia Fireflies now within a half game of this Kannapolis Cannonball side. 2-2 pitch, and Gladney rips it towards the left side. Backhand play for Meyer from his knees. Throw over to Jordan. One hops to the first baseman, and it's in time. What a play by Marcelo Meyer to get the throw down to Jordan at first. The connection between the two hot names on this Salem Red Sox side, and they can do it offensively. And you can see they do it defensively as well. Jordan keeps that right foot on the bag, and that's good enough for out number one of the inning.
Now you see why he was a top five pick. I mean, that defensive play was fantastic. I mean, that's a hard Meyer.
First pitch on the way to Wilford Verras is fouled off by the number five hitter of the order. And DJ Gladney grounded out last time to Marcelo Meyer in the fourth inning, but not as impressive as that showing. That's another game that has gone final. The Delmarva Shorebirds have defeated the Carolina Mudcats by the final score of 10-4. As the second pitch of the at-bat misses away for ball number one. 1-1 count with one out. Jackson takes a long look in. The step and the delivery to Veras, and the fastball catches the zone at 95 miles per hour for strike number two. So with that win for Delmarva, they've now won six of their last 10 games, and they improved to 8-13 on the season. And it's the 1-2 pitch to Veras, will miss low and away for ball two. Meanwhile, for Carolina, with that loss, they dropped to 9-12 on the season, and now they have lost seven of their last 10 games. Hasn't been great of a second half for the Mudcats after being in a race for the division title, as Veras will pop the 2-2 pitch deep out towards left field, but Gonzalez will find the baseball and make the catch in the grass for out number two.
As you can see, the defense today has been, other than the first inning where it was a little shaky, but really, all in all, the defense today has been much improved. Obviously, you saw that great play from Meyer, and so that's just a real great sign when you can see the Salem defense just put some mistakes in the back corner.
Benjamin Bailey at the plate now, and the first pitch away is called strike number one on the bottom half of the zone. Mentioned that, right? You got to clean up the game defensively if you want to win these ball games, and so far it's been a very clean game from both sides. Here's the 0-1 pitch to Bailey, and that fastball misses low for ball number one. Other scores that are currently happening around the Carolina League, the Charleston River Dogs are leading the Lynchburg Hillcats 5-1. And what has been a very interesting second half for both sides, as the 1-1 pitch from Jackson catches the zone for a called strike two. Lynchburg is 8-12, and they are right now fifth in the Carolina League North Division, while the Charleston River Dogs, who were a game away from clinching the South Division title, is now 9-10, ball number two. And for Charleston, that 9-10 record, they can move back to 500 if they're able to hold on to the Lynchburg Hillcats. That game is in the middle of the fifth inning, about an hour to our east. 2-2 pitch, Bailey swings and misses, and he goes down on strike number three once again. Three times that Bailey has gone down swinging today, and it's a 1-2-3 inning from Gabriel Jackson. And we move to the bottom of the sixth inning. This pitcher's duel continuing to go along on this Sunday afternoon. It's 1-0, Red Sox ahead. Welcome you back to Salem Memorial Ballpark. It's the bottom of the sixth inning, and the Salem Red Sox lead the Kannapolis Cannonballers by the score of 1-0. Heart of the order for the Red Sox here in the sixth, Marcelo Meyer, Blaze Jordan, and Tyler Miller. First pitch on the way to Meyer goes low of the zone for ball number one. As Valles back in for another half inning of work for Kannapolis. Let's keep you up on all those Carolina League scores right after this 1-0 pitch to Meyer as a breaking ball misses away for ball number two. The Fredericksburg Nationals lead the Augusta Green Jackets by the score of 3-0 in the top of the sixth inning down at SRP Park in North Augusta, South Carolina. Bases are loaded for the Fredericksburg Nationals as they lead 3-0 and try to separate themselves from the Green Jackets as the 2-0 pitch misses outside for ball number three. Meyer's had a great day so far, 2 of 2 with a pair of singles. He might be on his way for his third on-base appearance. This one, though, looking more like it might be a free pass. And here's the 3-0 pitch to Meyer, and it's right down the middle for a called strike one. Our final game of the Carolina League has just gotten underway. The Fayetteville Woodpeckers taking on the Myrtle Beach Pelicans. Top of the first inning between the Battle of the Birds. 3-1 pitch away to Meyer, and that's off the plate for ball number four. And Meyer leads off the sixth inning with a leadoff walk. So Meyer jogs down to first base comfortably, and, you know, we talked about this earlier in the game, but a four-day break coming up for all of minor league baseball. We'll have three-game series all across the Carolina League starting on Friday, July 22nd, rolling on through July 24th. First pitch on the way to Jordan, a fastball that goes down the middle for a called strike one. And the only difference so far today has been a Jose Garcia RBI double back in the sixth inning.
Watch out for Meyer. He is a stolen base threat. 14 so far in the year.
Hot shot from Jordan right to Sanchez. Couldn't get it on the catch, and they turned the double play. Home better for the shortstop as he batted it down with the glove. He threw it to Atwood at second for one, and he turned towards Veraz at first to turn the 6-4-3 double play.
Yeah, that definitely benefited more than just catching and Meyer going back to first. Although, if he were to catch it, I think Meyer was pretty deep where he might have actually been thrown out.
Yeah, we never would have known what happens in that case scenario. We do know the base paths are clear for the Salem Red Sox as Miller fouls off the first pitch for strike number one. Our first double play of the game. And it's Sanchez, Atwood, and Veras. And it was a strong start for the Salem Red Sox with Marcelo Meyer walking aboard and not as much of a threat anymore as Miller will swing and miss on the 0-1 pitch as he goes down 0-2 in the count. So the Red Sox want to keep up with the Nationals. They're going to have to hold on to this baseball game today because it looks like Fredericksburg might be on their way for their 15th win of the second half of the season. Here's the 0-2 pitch to Miller, and that fastball sits upstairs above the zone for ball number one. Here comes the 1-2 pitch to Miller, and the breaking ball misses low for ball two. Miller so far today is 0-2. He popped up in the second inning, and he grounded out in the third. Deuces wild for Salem's number 14. Pitches away, and this one's low below the knees for ball number three.
This would be a really big hit for Miller. Obviously, 9 home runs, but he also has 7 doubles. So when he makes contact, he really does get power. It's just he's got to find a better consistency when he's out at bat.
3-2 pitch, and Miller will watch it come the whole way through, and it misses inside for ball number four. So it may not be a base hit like you were talking about, Crescendo, but it is a free pass for Tyler Miller, the second that has been allowed of the inning by Veas. So Miller gets aboard, and that opens up for Eduardo Lopez, who will make his third plate appearance of the game.
And like you were saying, you know, just every bit of confidence that you need, you know, a walk on base, I think, helps out for your morale.
First pitch for Lopez is blooped up towards no man's land, and it drops for a base hit. Miller works over to third. Lopez stops at first, and it was a very nonchalant play from the center fielder Gonzalez and the shortstop of Sanchez as it fell in the gap. And Miller, running on two outs, was able to go all the way to one corner and occupied in another one. It's Eduardo Lopez.
Yeah, that fell in no man's land between this shortstop, second baseman, and center fielder. So it benefits the Red Sox, and now they have runners on the corners.
And this is a man at the plate I think Salem would love to have. Brian Gonzalez, 1-of-2 today with the single in the second, has a chance to really open up this contest. Time called by the catcher, Nick Thornquist, before the first pitch of the at-bat. So Miller at third base, Lopez at first, and here's the first pitch. It was a slider that misses low and away for ball one. Gonzalez joining this Salem Red Sox team in early July. First home series as a Salem Red Sox player. 1-0 pitch to Gonzalez, and it's a fastball that's on the outside edge for a called strike one. And we've seen a lot of great work so far by Gonzalez. We were talking about it earlier in the ballgame while Chelsea was on the air. He scored the game's only run as Garcia scored him from first base with a double. Here's the 1-1 pitch, and Gonzalez will pop this foul down the right field side. And he's definitely one of the newer position players for the Salem Red Sox team. I mean, you take a look at it, right? We've lost Nico Cavadas, Nathan Hickey, Phillip Sykes, and Gonzalez has kind of been that void out in the outfield. Lopez takes off. Gonzalez swings and misses for strike number three. So the Red Sox once again strand two runners out on the base paths as Gonzalez goes down swinging. And we stay at a 1-0 Salem Red Sox lead over the Kannapolis Cannonballers. Seventh inning up next at Salem. We welcome you back to Salem Memorial Ballpark. It is the top of the seventh inning, and Gabriel Jackson is in for another inning of work for the Salem Red Sox. He will go up against the bottom three of the order with Misael Gonzalez, Nick Thornquist, and Wilbur Sanchez.
And Gonzalez has been really, really good in these past two innings, even though when there were runners on base in the last inning, he's really found a way to find his groove. And I feel like when he's in these roles, he's a much better pitcher. He's able to really get his time to warm up and get in the game as a reliever in these kind of like opener slash relieving starts.
That's right, and Jackson will miss the first pitch away for ball one, but finds the strike number one on the outside corner where it become one ball so far today for Misael Gonzalez, and he will pop up the 1-1 pitch down the right field side, and it will hook foul for strike two. 0 of 2 day for Misael Gonzalez, a strikeout in the second inning, a strikeout in the fourth. Now Gabriel Jackson in his third inning of work. And first time we're seeing Jackson this week as well for the Salem Red Sox. Here's the 1-1 pitch. Gonzalez, a blooper down the right field side, and it lands foul for strike number one. Well, a friendly reminder after this series finale between the Salem Red Sox and the Kannapolis Cannonballers, we will have a three-game series right here at Salem, Virginia, against Lynchburg Hillcats. The 1-2 pitch on the way to Misael Gonzalez is fouled straight back into the screen, and we'll redo the 1-2 counts. So we're definitely going to see the Kannapolis top of the order one more time in today's ball game. Wonder if it'll be here in the seventh or later on in the eighth, as Gonzalez will swing and miss for strike number three. And for the third time today, Gonzalez goes down at the plate, and Jackson gets his second punch out of the evening.
Looked like a little slider. Didn't have much break, but it had just enough speed. Confused the hitter.
So now Nick Thornquist, who is also 0-2 today for the Kannapolis Cannonballers. He did strike out as well back in the second inning and grounded out in the fifth. First pitch on the way to Thornquist, a called strike number one. And this Salem Red Sox crew is starting to really rack up the strikeouts for the side, especially through this portion of the order, 5-8, as Thornquist will sound like a busted bat over to shortstop, and it gets through Marcelo Meyer out towards left center field. It's a one-out single for Nick Thornquist, and it's his first base hit of the game. Might as well be his first base hit of the series for the Cannonballers.
It sounded like a broken bat. I don't know if it definitely was broken, but it got just enough of the bat. A little bit more inside, he definitely would have broken it.
Yeah, it was further down the barrel towards the handle area of the bat, so it sounded like it might have busted, but hey, it did the job. It got him aboard.
Absolutely.
So now Wilbur Sanchez up. First pitch he sees, lines this one deep out towards right field, and Darryl Bailyn is able to make the catch for out number two. Now, Wilbur Sanchez has been known to have some really great at-bats this week, so for pitchers to get through him and with one pitch is really a bright spot for their side.
But now they have Andy Atwood at the plate, another solid, or probably their cornerstone of this lineup, so this is not going to be an easy out.
So it is the top of the order, as you mentioned, Crescendo. And so far today, 1-3, first pitch, a bouncer to Paulino, backhand side, throw over to first base, and look at that. 5-3 ground out to get out of the inning. A couple of one-pitch outs. Makes this a quick seventh inning, and the Kannapolis Cannonballers stranded one runner on the base path. It was Nick Thornquist with that single. Well, let's head into the seventh inning stretch. It's a 1-0 ball game. The Salem Red Sox lead the Kannapolis Cannonballers. We welcome you back to Salem Memorial Ballpark. It is a 1-0 Salem Red Sox lead in the bottom of the seventh inning as Jose Garcia is at the plate as he takes the first pitch low for ball number one. Hey, this is the reason why we are not in a scoreless game right now in the seventh inning. It's Garcia's RBI double back in the second inning. A 1-2 day so far as Garcia will swing and miss on the 1-0 pitch for strike number one. And, I mean, you would think this game would be 0-0 if DJ Kladney had a great play out there in right field. He didn't really have a great eye on the ball as it was a hot shot from Garcia's bat out towards right field as the 1-1 pitch goes low for ball two. So 8-9-1 par of the order. Darryl Bailyn and Edison Paulino will also bat for the Red Sox. Here's the 2-1 pitch, and Garcia will put this one up the middle. Sanchez scoops it glove side, throws it over to first in time for one. The second 6-3 ground out for Jose Garcia's day, and now we'll see Bailyn, who is 0-2 with a pair of pop-ups.
And I know the Salem Red Sox have been struggling some games with their offense. Obviously, when you lose Cavadas, Hickey, and some of the other guys that they have lost, it's going to be hard to replace them. So I think they're just finding their stride right now, trying to reconfigure their offense.
First pitch to Bailyn is crushed out towards center field, and moving back to the warning track is Gonzalez, but he makes the grab right in front of the Kroger sign for out number two. I mean, another well-hit ball by Darryl Bailyn, and Bailyn drops to 0-3 on the day. So that was our third time through the Salem Red Sox order, so we go back up to the top with Edison Paulino, looks to try to get aboard for the first time today as well. 0-3 with a pair of pop-ups, and he's had to watch a couple web gems from home plate to put him aside. And his first pitch will go low and inside for ball number one. I mean, Paulino was the hero on Thursday night. A two-run home run for the Salem Red Sox gave them the runs they needed to win it 3-2. And here on the 1-0 pitch, he will drop this into the gap for a two-out single. And Edison Paulino gets a sixth base hit of the day for the Salem Red Sox and keeps this inning floating.
That's definitely what he needed after those web gems like you were talking about earlier. And even for Darryl or Baylin, I mean, hitting them in hard spots, but they're just not finding space. That's definitely an advantage for this at-bat for Paulino, and hopefully the Salem Red Sox can capitalize.
We'll see if Brandon Bonassi is able to do a job. He is 0-3 today, struck out swinging back in the fifth, but he does have Edison Paulino out on the base path. First pitch to Bonassi, gets the green line and fouls it into the screen for strike number one. It's Red Sox 1, it's Cannonballer 0, 2 away here in the bottom of the second.
Paulino has 17 stolen bases, so one of the faster guys on this roster. So I'm wondering, with two outs, do they send them? Do they try to create disruption?
Here's the 0-1 pitch to Bonassi, and this is hammered down the left field side and will make its way out of play. The Salem Red Sox have gotten their only run, and the game's only run, in the bottom of the second inning. Has been very quiet offensively in the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and maybe the seventh as well. A lot of zeros on the scoreboard. Looks like a binary code out there in left center field as Bonassi will swing and miss on the 0-2 pitch, and Bonassi goes down the plate once again. The Red Sox strand one runner and Edison Paulino at first, and we stay 1-0. Salem over Kannapolis. The heart of the order is coming up for the Cannonballers. Wes Kath, Colby Smelly, DJ Glaxon, and we'll see what he's able to do when we come back right after this break. We welcome you back to Salem Memorial Ballpark. It is the top of the eighth inning, and the Salem Red Sox lead Kannapolis by the score of 1-0. Big inning for Gabriel Jackson. He's got Wes Kath, Colby Smelly, and DJ Gladney. On the first pitch to Kath, it's blooped up towards the third base side. Paulino moving to foul territory, makes the catch for out number one. But that was a short-lived at-bat. One pitch, one out, and Gabriel Jackson gets to the number two batter.
I was just about to say, last inning, I eat my words. Kind of saying that Atwood would be kind of a more difficult at bat. And he gets him out with one pitch, and he's continuing that tradition into this eighth inning. And it seems like they have an approach against Jackson. Swing at the very first pitch or very early in the count.
Well, Smelly does so here, and he misses for strike number one. He is 1-3 today, the designated hitter for Kannapolis. Singled back in the first inning, but a pair of pop-ups back in the third and the fifth. Here's the 0-1 pitch to Smelly, and that's right down the middle for a called strike number two. Nice off-speed by Gabriel Jackson. No one warming up in the left field bullpen for the Salem Red Sox as far as we can see. Might be Jackson the ball in the hand for the rest of the way. Here's the 0-2 pitch. Jackson kicks and smelly hot shot towards Meyer. A few bounces, but the shortstop fields it and makes a throw to Jordan in time for out number two.
You can definitely tell Jackson has really found his groove, really mixing his off-speed with his fastball, really throwing these Kannapolis Cannonballers off their rhythm.
Well, it's definitely great to see the play of Gabriel Jackson, born on September 7th, 2001, signed as an international free agent in the Boston Red Sox organization back in the calendar year of 2018. First pitch on the way to DJ Gladney, a called strike one. 15 home runs, 51 RBIs this season for Kannapolis. A dangerous cleanup hitter. The 0-1 pitch drops low of the zone for ball number one. The count is now even. Gladney's had a rather quiet day, though. 0-3 with the pop-up back in the first and then a pair of groundouts to Marcelo Meyer. Here comes the 1-1 pitch. Gladney watches it the whole way, and the breaking ball misses just off the plate for ball number two. 1-0 Salem Red Sox lead over the Kannapolis Cannonballers on this Sunday evening. A good pitcher's duel to put an end to the series. 2-1 over the Gladney, and this is fouled towards the on-deck circle for strike number two. Let me tell you, this has been the... And a lot of people are talking about, oh, man, what's going to happen to our offense now with the loss of Nikhil Cavadez, Nathan Hickey, Phillip Sykes. Well, the pitching has gone and going. 2-2 pitch from Jackson, a fastball in 94 just above the letters. And the count goes 3-2.
And that's what manager Luke Matza said, too, talking to him. He's really emphasized that the pitching has really calmed down since the beginning of April and May.
3-2 pitch, and Gladney will foul tip that into the glove of Jose Garcia for strike number three. What a punch out by Jackson, and what an inning from number 31 of Salem. He gets through 2, 3, and 4 part of the order, and that is a 1-2-3 frame from Jackson. So we move to the bottom of the eighth. One last chance for the Salem Red Sox to try to build some insurance on this 1-0 edge. We'll find out what they're able to do with the 3-4-5 part of the order. Marcelo Meyer at the plate when we come back. We welcome you back to Salem Memorial Ballpark. A 1-0 lead for the Salem Red Sox over the Kannapolis Cannonballers. One last chance for Salem to really put themselves in a bigger distance over Kannapolis as Marcelo Meyer takes the first pitch for a called strike number one. Meyer is 2-of-2 today with a walk back in the sixth inning. Here's the 0-1 pitch to Meyer, and the breaking ball misses off the plate for ball number one. So the number three hitter's had a pretty successful day, and he is on the doorstep of the 300 company with his batting average at a 298. Here's the 1-1 pitch to Meyer, and he will swing at a breaking ball at 83 miles per hour to drop 1-2 in the count. It is still in the game. It's Jesus Valles of the Kannapolis Cannonballers. 1-2 pitch by Valles, and Meyer will shoot this one down the first base side, but it will roll foul. And the 1-2 count will be stayed in place. beautiful Sunday evening at the ballpark as the temperatures have begun to dip into the nighttime. Here's the 1-2 pitch by Meyer, fouled off of home plate, and we stay at 1-2. Marcelo Meyer, been a part of the lineup in almost every game this week. I want to say he's been a part of all six of them, which is great because there was a time where he wasn't in the lineup as much. Here's the 1-2 pitch, a slow roller to the first base side. It's scooped up by Veras, and the tag at first is in time for out number one. So they get the first batter to be retired in the inning by Kanapolis. So we drop down to Blaze Jordan, who is 0-2 today. Last time up, though, he did ground out into a double play that consisted of Wilbur Sanchez, Andy Atwood, and Wilfred Veras to get through Marcelo Meyer and Blaze Jordan. First pitch to Jordan, a fastball inside, and he's able to hold back on the check swing as the appeal down to Ellie Melton said he did not go. 1-0 is the count up towards right field. Moving over to his right is DJ Gladney, and he camps underneath of it and squeezes the glove for out number two. Jordan drops to 0-3 on the day, but we now have Tyler Miller at the plate, who is 0-2 on the evening for the Salem Red Sox. And Valles has struggled against left-handed batters coming into this game. When he compared to right-handed batters, it's a .273 batting average for left-handed batters and .182 for right-handed batters, as Miller will swing and miss for strike number one. And if Salem Red Sox fans know, very favorable left-handed order. Just going down it right now, Edison Paulino, Brian Bonassi, Marcelo Meyer, Tyler Miller, Eduardo Lopez, all batting with the left hand today, as Miller will foul this down the first base side for strike number two. It used to be a much more.
We also have Lopez.
Yeah,
even though he's not a lefty, but he's a switch hitter. So
yeah, Bonassi and Lopez, they both were left-handed today, so I count them as left-handed. 0-2 pitch will go low for ball number one. But yes, there are switch hitters. But it used to be a lot more with like Nico Cavadas and Nathan Hickey. It's got a lot more right-handed batters now. Blaze Jordan, Brian Gonzalez, Jose Garcia, and Daryl Balin, all right-handed batters today. 1-2 pitch over to Miller, and this is lifted on up and into right field for a two-out base hit. It gets over the infield and right in front of DJ Gladney, and now Tyler Miller has his first base hit of the contest.
If you see Tyler Miller, he was able to just take the ball in the direction that he needed to. He didn't do too much with it, able to pull it into right field and get himself a base hit before the game ends, or hopefully ends in the top of the ninth.
That would be very nice for the Salem Red Sox sake. Miller, the DH today, finally able to get aboard with back-to-back appearances with a walk in the sixth and a single in the eighth. And now we have Eduardo Lopez, like you were talking about, left-handed batter, switch hitter. Salem is very fortunate to have two great hitters that can bat from both sides of the plate in their lineup. First pitch on the way by Valles drops low of the zone for ball number one. So far today, Lopez is 1-3. After striking out and popping up in his first two plate appearances, he recorded. Here's the 1-0 pitch to Lopez, the fastball just off the plate for ball two. That base hit for Tyler Miller puts the Salem Red Sox ahead on the hits category. They now have a 7-6 advantage. The biggest advantage they have right now, though, is 1-0 over Kanapolis. 2-0 is the count. Pitch on the way to Lopez, and he'll swing at a breaking ball, and he misses for strike number one. So, two balls and one strike with two away. And here's the step and the delivery. Lopez will get the end of the barrel on the baseball and lift it up down the third base side, but it hits into the netting for strike number two. And now the count is even for Eduardo Lopez. Two balls, two strikes, so two away. 1-0 Salem Red Sox lead over the Kanapolis Cannonballers on this final day before the four-day quote-unquote all-star break here in the Carolina League. 2-2 is the count. Miller at first, he holds, pitches away to Lopez, and it's outside for ball three.
One thing about Lopez, you know, when he first came to the scene, four home runs in one series, really was lighting it up. Since then, he's really cooled off, and once he gets hot, though, he really is another great at-bat in this lineup.
3-2 count, Miller goes, Lopez will swing, gets grounded over to Andy Atwood. Miller able to avoid getting hit by the grounder, and Atwood's play at second is able to throw it in time to Veras for the third out of the inning. So the Salem Red Sox strand one base runner in the inning, and they are unable to expand their one-run lead over Kannapolis. So we go 1-0 Salem into the top of the ninth inning. Two up, it's Wilfred Verraz, Benjamin Bailey, and Misael Gonzalez. Gabriel Jackson coming out to the rubber for another inning of work as he tries to close this game off for the Salem Red Sox. We welcome you back to the top of the ninth inning. It is Wilfred Verraz, the lead things off for the Kannapolis Cannonballers as the Salem Red Sox lead 1-0 as Verraz on the first pitch he sees will belt it out towards center field and it gets through for a base hit. It's Verraz's second single of the game and the tying run is aboard for Kannapolis. That's really all it takes for the Cannonballers to get that tying run aboard, just get one base runner on as they trail 1-0. Verraz did not take long and that's kind of what you're talking about, Crescendo. About these at-bats, attack early and often against Gabriel Jackson, and it pays off there for Wilfred Verraz to start off the ninth.
Yeah, first pitch, first single, a great start for the Cannonballers.
And now Benjamin Bailey, line drive by Marcelo Meyer, and he makes the grab for out number one. Oh, Benjamin Bailey had the same recipe. Maybe go for the first pitch and try to get aboard, but that time Marcelo Meyer was in the right spot as he makes the grab for out one. I mean, strikeouts, he was just trying to get some contact going, and it was a nice hit ball, but Marcelo Meyer was in the perfect place to make the catch for out number one. So this part of the order has struggled a bit today for the Kannapolis Cannonballers. We mentioned that Bailey 0-3 with three strikeouts. Misael Gonzalez in the same boat, 0-3 with three strikeouts swinging, and now there's one out in the frame. Well, if you're Gonzalez, you want to avoid anything on the dirt, as he swings on the first pitch, and it's fouled off the barrel of Gonzalez for strike number one. So the tying run is aboard for Kannapolis. It's Wilfred Verraz, but he's at first base. And they got to find a way for him to score to keep this ball game going. 0-1 is the count. Jackson steps in and delivers, and Gonzalez watches the breaking ball miss low for ball number one. Another tight game between Kannapolis and Salem. In two of the three Red Sox wins this week, they've done it by one run, both 3-2 victories. Another one of their games was a 5-0 win. Here's a 1-1 pitch, Gonzalez with a hack, and he foul tips it into the glove of Garcia for strike number two.
And Salem really wants this win. They do have the bullpen warming up, so I believe it's Guerrero warming up in the bullpen.
Yeah, Luis Guerrero, who picked up a save earlier this week for the Salem Red Sox, might be utilized here in the ninth. Here's the 1-2 pitch to Gonzalez. A swing and a miss. Strike number three. Make that 0-4 in the night for Gonzalez. Every time at the plate, he has faced the wrath of the Salem Red Sox pitchers. And he has gone 0-4 with four strikeouts. 12th punch out of the game for the Salem Red Sox pitching department. And now the Kannapolis Cannonballers are down to their last out. It is in the form of Nick Thornquist. The catcher for Kannapolis is 1-3 today. He singled his last time up in the seventh. First pitch from Jackson. It drops low of the zone with a 90-mile-per-hour fastball.
Jackson has really had great curveball tonight. Really good spin on it to interact with his fastball.
Here comes the 1-0 pitch. It's into the dirt. Good block by Garcia. Throw down to second base. The tag by Bonassi is not in time as Veras moves, able to capitalize off of the ball bouncing in front of Garcia's body. And just like that, a hit to the outfield now could tie up this ball game.
That was a really good job, though, by Garcia. Really made it a competitive throw. Maybe a little high for Bonassi, but all in all, being bounced in front of the plate, a really good, solid throw.
So now you see Luke Mons waving in Daryl Baylin at right field, knowing if there is a hit to the outfield. You can see that as well for Eduardo Lopez shifting in a bit, because if there is a hit to the outfield, you know that the runner of Wilfred Veras will try to shift on home. 2-0 count now for Nick Thornquist, as that last pitch was just outside. And the suspension is brewing here in the top of the ninth inning with a 1-0 Red Sox lead. And now time is called, and it's going to be an infraction on Gabriel Jackson. Took a little bit too long to get into the windup, so the 2-0 count will go to 3-0. Haven't seen many of those infractions over these last 3 months of the pitch clock, but the pitchers have definitely been the ones who have picked up more infractions. Here's a 3-0 pitch in the fastball right down the middle for a called strike number one. Wilbur Sanchez on deck for Kannapolis. And you take a look at that cannonballer's side. You don't know if you maybe try to go with a pinch hitter. They have some of their best offensive pieces in the lineup already. 3-1 pitch, and this one is fouled off by Thornquist. So Veras has to go back towards second. And the count is now full of 3-2. Good recovery here from Gabriel Jackson, who was one pitch away from walking Thornquist. He still technically is. But now the pressure has been put on Kannapolis' number 13. Luke Mons signaling to his outfielders, trying to make sure they're in the right position. 3-2 pitch goes upstairs for ball number four, and this game lives on for the Cannonballers. A walk to Nick Thornquist, and now Luke Mons jogs out to the mound, and that doesn't honestly mean that he's going to be pulling his pitcher, Gabriel Jackson, maybe just one, and calm him down.
Yeah, I think this is more of just a pep talk. I mean, he has one out left. He's going to let him ride or die situation, kind of letting his pitcher either get out of this jam or this is going to be his tie, or they're going to give up the tie game here. So this is up to Gabriel Jackson right now, who really has pitched fabulously tonight.
So runners on first and second base, Wilfred Veras at second. He got there with the stolen base. And then you have Nick Thornquist with back-to-back on-base appearances. He got on with a free pass of a walk, and our viewing audience on MILB.TV, you get to see it. Number six, Luis Guerrero warming up in the bullpen. May not be used today, but we'll see what's able to happen. But first, it's Gabriel Jackson against Wilbur Sanchez, 0-3 today. First pitch to Sanchez, bouncer off the left side. It rolls foul for strike number one. Well, Sanchez is a very fishish batter to go against. He will drive up your pitch counts the way he battles. And in this situation, you need that batter at the plate. You need some guy that's going to fight off any pitches that come his way. And it's an 0-1 count over to Sanchez. Pitch on the way. He will swing and miss for strike number two. And Wilbur Sanchez and the Kannapolis Cannonballers are down to their last strike.
Sanchez has 77 strikeouts, so he's down 0-2 in the count. So not a favorable matchup so far.
And he had a 12-pitch at-bat yesterday against Hunter Dobbins. But it's an 0-2 count. Jackson with a deep breath on the mound. The kick and the delivery, and Sanchez pops it up towards the right side. It will make its way out of play, and it will land in the seats and will stay at an 0-2 count. And this is where Sanchez can really get you. So we'll see what Jackson's able to do. He went with the breaking ball for the pitch. We'll see if he tries to go back with some off-speed or try to utilize his heat. Here's the 0-2 pitch. Sanchez rips this up the middle. It goes through for a base hit. Lopez gloves it up. Here comes the throw to Garcia. It's airmailed. Veras scores. At third base is Thornquist. And in the second, it's Wilbur Sanchez. It is a tied ball game. Get that crucial run in the top half of the ninth inning. And we're all tied up at one apiece. It was a good charge in by Lopez, and the step in was accurate, but the throw was way too wild, and it was no chance for Garcia to come down with that catch. And I just don't think the center fielder knew he had it in him to make that throw. I think the moment may have gotten the best of Lopez. And now Luke Moss will walk out to the mound and point to the bullpen.
But not a bad performance at all by Jackson, giving up one run in how many innings? Four, five innings?
I want to say he went 4 2/3 today. That's his final stat line. And, yes, just a tough end for Jackson. And Sanchez just able to put the ball in play, and good things are able to happen. And so now the tide turns to the Kannapolis Cannonballers because of the way they have played in today's contest. They have always been around this team. They haven't quite been able to get that run. They do so here. They have runners at second and third base with the top of the order coming up with Andy Atwood. So we're going to step aside and let Luis Guerrero get warmed up for the Salem Red Sox. And when we come back, it's going to be a big at-bat against the leadoff batter for Kannapolis. 1-1 is our new score in the top of the ninth.
Except Ben Affleck has been with like three different women. Yeah. But good for Ben Affleck. I mean, she. Alright, I guess I'll bring in the stats for Guerrero. The weird trot. That's so weird. All the pitchers that we use, does he like go down the order? Like, they're literally. Said he had a save Tuesday?
Yes.
Okay. I think he might have got the win. Did he get the save? Okay.
We welcome you back to the top of the ninth inning at Salem Memorial Ballpark. 1-1 is our score. Andy Atwood at the plate with runners on second and third. And Luis Guerrero, the new pitcher into the game, will throw an off-speed pitch that catches the zone for a called strike number one. So we've already gone to see Guerrero once this week. And although he cannot technically get the save right now for the Salem Red Sox, he can try to get out of the inning as Atwood will swing and miss on the 0-1 pitch for the strike two call.
Guerrero looks very electric right now. He has a 1-3 record. Even though his ERA is a little high at 5.25, he's only had 11 games here so far for the Salem Red Sox.
Here's the 0-2 pitch. Atwood, did he go on the check swing? The appeal said he did not. It was a fastball away at 96 miles per hour, and Atwood's barrel almost crossed that imaginary line of it being a swing or not. It did not, and Atwood lives to see another pitch. 1-2, Atwood crushes this one into Marcelo Meyer's glove. What a backhanded play made by the number round selection in the 2021 MLB draft, Marcelo Meyer, with the web gem style. And we go to the bottom of the ninth in a 1-1 contest. A new pitcher for Kannapolis. And we will see the Salem Red Sox are able to walk things off with the bottom three of their order coming up next. So, folks, there will be a bottom of the ninth inning today as the Kannapolis Cannonballers score a run in the top of the ninth inning to extend this contest as we're tied one apiece here in the bottom of the ninth inning. New pitcher into the game for the Kannapolis Cannonballers as well. Number 35, Liam Jenkins, has already made an appearance this week for the Cannonballers where he pitched 1 1/3 inning of work, giving up one hit, walked one batter, and struck out to the Louisville grad, was acquired by a free agent in the 2022 calendar year. Brian Gonzalez is at the plate, and the first pitch goes upstairs for ball number two, strikes and two outs. Wilbur Sanchez singled it up the middle, and it got in an RBI as Gonzalez will pop up the 1-0 pitch towards the right side. Into the seats it goes for strike number one.
Jenkins has a 6.35 ERA in eight games. However, what really surprises me is that he has 16 strikeouts to 13 walks. Not a great ratio, so the Salem hitters might want to take it easy on the first pitch or two.
Well, Gonzalez up 2-1 in the count right now. A pretty good sign for the number seven hitter for the Salem Red Sox. Here's the 2-1 pitch to Gonzalez. It's ripped down the left field line. It's a base hit. It rolls all the way to the wall. Gonzalez at first. He goes in the second. It's a leadoff double, and the Salem Red Sox dugout is amped.
He got a Gonzalez type of double, really smashing it to left field. Felt like Godzilla was out there the way the sound of the bat. Really rips it down the line and leads it off with a great double.
Well, it was a Godzilla-like play. It was massive. It was big. It's at the time that we needed it the most, and Gonzalez just does a great job. He scored the only run for Salem so far tonight, and he put himself in a great position to score that game-winning run for them. And look who's at the plate. It's the guy who brought him in. It's Jose Garcia. And we're talking about that play that happened all the way back in the bottom of the second inning. And Garcia with an opportunity here in the ninth. Nobody out. Runner at second for the Salem Red Sox. Corner infield's creeped in. Garcia showing bunt. And the pitch goes high and inside and past the catcher at Thornquist. And in the third, it is Brian Gonzalez. So you talked about the inconsistency for Liam Jenkins. Not only does he give up a leadoff double for Brian Gonzalez, but he fires the first pitch over the head of Jose Garcia. Great reflexes to duck that pitch.
And now I'm wondering what Kannapolis will do. Are they going to bring their outfielders in? What is the situation here with Jose Garcia? Not a huge power threat.
1-3 today for Jose Garcia, and now if you're something high and deep. 1-0 pitch, and it's high and inside, and Garcia once again hits the deck as the count goes to 2-0.
And like I said, really the consistency of Jenkins, not able to find the strike zone, and you can clearly see that. He is very, very wild at right now.
Not only does Garcia have these in-the-spotlight moment nerves, but he also is getting the nerves of being hit by back-to-back fastballs by Jenkins. Here's the 2-0 pitch to Garcia. This is a slider that misses away for ball number three. And I just think right now in this matchup, Jenkins just seems to be a little bit too rattled. Just the inconsistency with the throws they were talking about.
This is an interesting call to the bullpen by Kannapolis in this situation.
3-0 count. Jenkins fires away. Garcia, a red-hot grounder, will go foul down the third base side. And the count will go to 3-1. Garcia getting the green light on the 3-0 pitch. So the infielders are pressed in. All on the edge of the grass on the infield. 3-1 count. Pitch to Garcia. High and inside. Ball number four. And Garcia will walk down the first. And Garcia has a word or two to say to Liam Jenkins as he jogs on down. Don't really see that much from Jose Garcia.
I don't blame him after getting almost thrown at his head three different times.
Well, Garcia made his status known, and now the pitching coach of John Elley coming out and talking with Liam Jenkins in the infield. Well, he is a free agent signee in the calendar year of 2022. He actually has pitched before in the Carolina League, or what it was last year known as Low A East, as he was a part of the Lynchburg Killcats, but now he is here with the Kannapolis Cannonballers in the same league, different side, but going against the quote-unquote rivals of the Lynchburg Killcats in the Salem Red Sox. And what a time this could be for a young player that has struggled to get his season going in Salem. Darryl Balin, .085, has one home run and seven RBIs this year. Runners on the corners, keep in mind for the double steal as well. Runners on the corners, pitch the way to Balin, and the pitch is upstairs for ball number one. So you were talking about how the outfield might squeeze in because Garcia isn't quote-unquote a power hitter. But Balin is definitely one. We've seen him size a few deep bombs earlier in this game. Of course, into the gloves of the outfielders. But the 1-0, Garcia takes off, and he will just take second. And the Kannapolis Cannonballers are smart not to fall for that double steal attempt. The 1-0 pitch was low and inside for ball number two. You knew exactly what was going to happen when Thorquist was going to size up and throw down to second. Gonzalez is going to go from third.
And that was a really good read by, obviously, Luke Motz to send him there. Stay out of the double play and don't force anything on the runners.
2-0 count to Balin, and it's upstairs for ball three. Top of the order coming up as well if we get through the batter, Balin.
Now I wonder if Kannapolis kind of intentionally walks him, force every runner to have a situation where they have to run.
Well, it's also a big responsibility for the catcher of Thornquist to make sure nothing gets past him. Done a good job so far. 3-0 pitch, and that is a fastball called strike one on the outside corner. So it's a 1-1 ball game. Salem and Kannapolis tied up in the bottom of the ninth inning, and the Red Sox are 90 feet away from taking this ball game. They have runners at second and third base. Gonzalez at third. Garcia at second. Hitter's pitch for Balin, and he's going to take a swing at it and foul it over the netting into the sweet area for strike number two. Luke Mons, a third base coach, encouraging Balin at the plate.
This would be huge for Balin and his confidence right now to get the game-winning sack fly hit, whatever he can do.
Count is full. Here's the pitch. Balin will foul it off into the screen and will stay at 3-2. Well, this inning started off with Brian Gonzalez doubling down the left field line. Moved all the way into second. And then he was able to advance on third by a wild pitch by Liam DeWalk. Then he got a stolen base. So two runners in scoring position. 3-2 count. Pitches away, and Balin will take it for ball four. Great at-bat by Salem's number 44, and he gets aboard for the Red Sox. You do now have that question, though, of it's a force out at every plate. But for Balin, he was able to stay alive in the at-bat, pick up an on-base appearance, and most importantly, bring up the top of the order.
It brings up the top of the order, but like I was saying earlier, and you just mentioned, it forces each runner to have to run. So every play matters and every base matters at this point.
Paulino fouls the first pitch on the left field side and gets out of play into the seats. He singled his last time up, a 1-4 night for Edison Paulino. A couple of pop-ups and a ground out back in the first. Bases are loaded for the Salem Red Sox. It's a 1-1 ball game. 0-1 pitch to Paulino, and he pops his up towards our direction, and it goes just below us to the left for strike number two. So when you're Paulino, you definitely don't want to put something in the dirt. You just want something to go over the head of the infield. He is down 0-2 in the count. Jenkins looking for the first out of the inning. Red hot shot at first. They get one, and they tag at first for two. What a play by Wilford Verraz. He get the line drive out, and then he tagged first for out number two.
And that was a great play by Kannapolis. I mean, Paulino hit it hard right to the first baseman. Smart play by the first baseman wearing number 7 for Kannapolis to get that double play. A one unassisted double play there really hurts the Red Sox, and now Brainer Bonacy has an opportunity to win this ball game.
Two outs in the bottom of the ninth. First pitch to Bonacy is into the zone for a called strike number one. Tough day for Bonacy, 0-4, but what an opportunity to turn it around with runners at second and third with two away. Another great defensive play by a corner infielder of the Kannapolis Cannonballers. This time was Wilford Verraz as the 0-1 pitch is sent down the left field line. And all of a sudden, what looked like a promising start to the ninth inning, the Salem Red Sox are down to their last strike. Infield drops back for Kannapolis as well. No need to press up anymore with their two outs and a force out at first. 0-2 count. Pitch goes upstairs for ball number one. Remember, a pass ball here could still give the green light for Brian Gonzalez. And in a game like this, where offense has been hard to come by for both sides, it wouldn't be unreasonable for Luke Mons to send him.
Jenkins has seemed to find and calm down, find the strike zone.
1-2 pitch goes low and inside for ball two. Great stop by Thornquist on the changeup, and he had to go over to his right side to make the block, and he made it look like a textbook play. 2-2 count for Bonassi. He has 24 RBIs on the season, and what he would do for number 25 right now. Here comes the pitch from Jenkins, and Bonassi swings and misses for strike number three. It didn't look like they had much of a shot, but Kannapolis got out of the bottom of the ninth inning, and they bring this game into extras. Kannapolis 1, Salem 1. We have extra free baseball on our hands at Salem Memorial Ballpark. Luis Guerrero coming back in for the Salem Red Sox. It will be Andy Atwood at second base for Kannapolis when we come back. Welcome you back to Salem Memorial Ballpark. It is the top of the 10th inning. And as our home plate umpire, Chad Patterson, let us know that Gilberto Mexicano is now into the game catching for the Salem Red Sox as Luis Guerrero gets on the mound. So don't know if Luis Guerrero prefers Gilberto Mexicano from behind the plate. Maybe it's a move to try to get Mexicano's bat in the action here in extra innings. But it has happened here at the top of the 10th. Andy Atwood at second base and Wes Kath in the batter's box. First pitch breaks inside for ball number one. And what a better way to go into the four-day break by getting some free baseball here at Carilion Clinic Field. Guerrero fires the 1-0 pitch to Kath, and this goes above the letters for ball two. Good batter to have for Kannapolis to start off the 10th inning when Kath, a 2-of-3 day with three on-base appearances, a pair of singles, and a walk back in the third. 2-0 counts to Kath. Guerrero fires away, and Kath will slap this foul into the first base dugout for strike one.
And not a bad batter to have on the base path either, with five stolen bases from Atwood, so a relatively speedy guy.
2-1 count. Guerrero steps in. Kath with a swing and a foul ball down the first base side. And although you have pitching coach John Ely trying to make a great play, he just never had it really in his sights. But instead, it is strike number two, and it's a 2-2 count. It's away, and it's another foul ball down the first base side. And although I like how people look at this ghost runner at second logic, they always talk about the priority is the runner. But when you have a batter like Wes Kath, it doesn't seem logical to just let him go out there and try to bunt at with a third. Here comes the 2-2 pitch to Kath, who would just slap this foul down the third base side and into the seats it goes. Now, if it was another batter in the Kannapolis order, then you might consider that. Say Atwood was at the plate and Wilbur Sanchez was on at second. That's a player you're trying to move to third. But Wes Kath's bat is pretty crucial for this Kannapolis side. 2-2 pitch, and Kath will swing and miss for strike number three for the first out of the inning. What a big one on Kath. He's retired for the second straight time today.
However, Andy, he does have 110 strikeouts, so maybe just going for the bunt there might have been the smarter play. Now the runner doesn't move 90 feet to help out Kannapolis.
It's also a very powerful part of the order. You have Colby Smelling out the plate, and you have DJ Gladney to follow as well. That's a really good position for them to be in. I mean, Salem's going to be in a good position as well. They have Marcelo Meyer, Blaze Jordan, and Tyler Miller due up when we go to the bottom of the 10th. As the first pitch goes low and away for ball number one to the batter of Colby Smelling.
With Bonacci also going to be starting at second, which is a much better matchup than right now with Atwood at second.
1-0 count, Smelly at the plate, pitch is away, and he takes it for ball two. Oh, Guerrero has did a good job in the top of the ninth inning to get out of that frame and make sure it at least stayed a 1-1 score. But now the taller task here in the 10th, 2-0 pitch, and Smelly will pop this one up and goes to the right side into the seats for strike number one. And although it won't hurt your ERA, it's a very scary situation. You go into the new inning, you warm up on the mound, and you get things going, and you look back at second, and there's already a runner there. It's like, oh, man, I already got someone in scoring position. 2-1 pitch to Smelly, a called strike two on the outside corner.
Although that won't be a thing next year, right?
I don't think it's no longer a thing in the Major League Baseball. I don't know if it's going to be around for Minor League Baseball. You know, there's a lot of rules that are still around for Minor League Baseball that MLB don't. 2-2 pitch to Smelly, and he rocks this one out towards center field. Lopez makes the grab. Atwood will not tag up at second, and so two outs in the frame.
And this is interesting that Luke Motz is coming out to talk to Guerrero.
Well, it is the batter of DJ Gladney, and this batter is more than due crescendo. He is 0-4 today. He's the cleanup hitter in the order for this Kannapolis side, and he is really a difference maker for this Cannonballer side. And to be quite honest, if extra innings was not a thing, it would have ended his six-game hit streak, but he has a chance here in the top of the 10th to make it seven. But, yeah, you know, this is something I think that it comes to that Luke Mons knows. He's dealing with a lot of young ball players. A big situation, top of the 10th inning. Guerrero hasn't been at Salem all too long. He's been around here about over a month, but there's been some big games he's been a part of, and this is another one to his resume. DJ Gladney at the plate. First pitch will go low for ball one. Just talking about Gladney, he struck out his last time up in the eighth inning, which is a 1-2-3 inning, a part of Gabriel Jackson. Fifth plate appearance today for Gladney. All they need is a base hit, and Atwood will most likely score from second. 1-0 pitch to Gladney, and this one's a called strike one as it comes in at 97 miles per hour into the zone.
Also, for Guerrero, he's been in situations like this, though. Has four saves on the year, so high leverage situations he's been a part of.
1-1 pitch. Gladney rocks this one out towards center field. Moving back is Lopez reaching up as he makes the grab for out number three. Hey, a 1-2-3 inning by Luis Guerrero. And we go to the bottom of the 10th with the Salem Red Sox in a golden position to try to walk off this contest. It'll be Brandon Bonassi at second base. It'll be Marcelo Meyer, Blaze Jordan, and Tyler Miller due up in this 1-1 ball game. We welcome you back to the bottom of the 10th inning, where it's tied 1-1 between the Salem Red Sox and the Kannapolis Cannonballers. And Brainerd Bonassi will start off at second base, and Marcelo Meyer will start off at first as he is intentionally walked to first base. And now Blaze Jordan will come to the plate with nobody out. So Marcelo Meyer's already had a pretty good day for the Salem Red Sox. We'll drop down to the cleanup hitter of Blaze Jordan. First pitch on the way to Jordan. It's high and inside for ball number one.
And this is exactly what Kannapolis wanted to do because they are forcing now Bonassi to be a force runner. So this is actually a pretty smart play by them.
Jordan pops up the 1-0 pitch down the right field line, and it heads into the made by a fan barehanded, but instead bounces up to section 301. 1-1 count, Bonassi at second base, Meyer at first. Good job by the Red Sox in the top half of the 10th to not allow Kannapolis to take a lead. 1-1 pitch to Jordan, high and inside for ball two. That one at 93 miles per hour. Jordan is 0-3 today. But still, I mean, you intentionally walk Meyer. Wouldn't you think you want to walk maybe Jordan as well? 291 hitter with 45 RBIs. Maybe not had it today. 2-1 pitch to Jordan, and it drops low of the zone for ball number three.
I guess just picking and choosing who has the hotter hand right now. And Marcelo, he was struggling in late June, early July, really has found his stride again. So I guess they're going to try to take on Jordan, who has been struggling here late.
Hitter's pitch to Jordan, and this fastball's a called strike number two on the bottom half, and Jordan can't believe it.
I don't think a lot of the fans could believe it either. It looked like it was at the middle of the shins, and the catcher framed it up to the knees.
Anywho, it becomes a 3-2 count. Jordan's got to put it behind him here. As Jenkins steps in and fires, Jordan rips this down the right side again as it hits into the netting and rolls up to the seats. There are some eager kids that want to run these bases on the Kids Run the Bases Sunday here at Salem Memorial Ballpark, and Blaze Jordan can send them down that road. 3-2 count. Jenkins will step in and fire. Jordan puts a chopper in play. Bonassi and Meyer both on the move. Sanchez the second for one. Throw over to first base, and they get him. The 6-4-3 double play, and Kannapolis can turn another double play in the late innings of this contest. And now two outs on the board as Tyler Miller comes up to the plate. So Salem does get that winning run into third base, but it does cost them two outs as Sanchez, Atwood, and Veras have already turned one double play today in a Blaze Jordan at bat, and they do it again here in extras. So now Tyler Miller, first pitch skied up, left side, going to go in foul territory. Will be a tough play for anybody. Westcath reaches over, and he makes the catch for out number three. Kannapolis also is able to make sure that we stay here in Salem Memorial Ballpark as we will go to a 1-1 score in the top of the 11th inning. Luis Guerrero out for another inning of work when we come back here to Salem Memorial Ballpark. We welcome you back to Salem Memorial Ballpark, top of the 11th inning. We never heard that one here before at Salem this season, but we are doing it today on this Sunday in the middle of July. It's a 1-1 ball game between Kannapolis and Salem. DJ Gladney is the ghost runner at second to start off the inning, and Wilfred Veras is the first man at the plate. Guerrero fires the first pitch, and Veras will swing and miss for strike number one. Varias did a good job in the ninth inning to start off that offense. And what he was able to do, he was got the leadoff single and then eventually scored to give this a 1-1 ball game as Varias will pop up the 0-1 pitch towards the right side and it will go into the seats for strike number two. Varias today, a 2-of-4 batter for Kannapolis with a single in the fourth, and we just mentioned the one back in the ninth. Guerrero takes a look at glass and a miss by Varias for strike number three. Another start to an extra inning for Luis Guerrero where he's able to get the batter swinging and missing on strike number three. He did it with Wes Kath, and he does it here with Wilfred Varias.
Just an overpowering fastball. You saw how late it was. Obviously expecting a changeup. Nope, fastball.
Guerrero fires the first pitch to Benjamin Bailey as the first pitch goes upstairs for ball number one. 0-4 for Benjamin Bailey. A lot of these players today are in positions which they feel as if they're due to come through in a big moment. And Benjamin Bailey might be one of them. Here's the pitch, and he cranks this one out towards left center field. The runner may tag as Lopez makes the grab. Gladney is off towards third. Throw is cut off by Marcelo Meyer, and Gladney slides in safe to third base. And so Bailey is able to move the runner 90 feet closer to home, but Lopez is able to make the grab for out number two. So now, another batter who has struggled greatly today is Misael Gonzalez. Number 22 for Kannapolis is 0-4 with four strikeouts swinging today, and he's got DJ Gladney on third base for Kannapolis. First pitch by Guerrero, a fastball upstairs at 97 miles per hour for ball number one. Oh, this is a tough day for Gonzalez. I mean, there are bad days, and there's days like this where you just cannot make any contact on the baseball. The 1-0 pitch, and Gonzalez will hold on a fastball upstairs at 96 for ball number two.
The best thing he could do, either obviously, other than win the game, either get a walk or really run the pitch count up of Guerrero. I mean, he really is pitching fabulously here for Salem.
It's also the end of the week for the Red Sox. You don't know how many arms you have as Gonzalez will swing and miss for strike number one. You've been lucky to get some pretty good performances from your pitching staff lately, but you never know which guys are going to be ready to go for these scenarios. 2-1 count, Guerrero steps in and follows, and then Gonzalez puts this one straight back to the screen. So Deuces Wild with two balls, with two strikes, with two outs. I mean, it is so even in this baseball game. Each team with one run, and each team with eight hits.
I don't mean to cut you off, but Motz was really telling Baylin to come in, and he didn't really see the signal.
2-2 pitch, and they will go low and away for ball number three. You know, Motz might be making that clarification to Baylin. Well, you don't have that situation, really, with if it falls out there in the outfield. I mean, Gladney is going to score. It's two outs. He's going to run on contact, don't you think? 3-2 pitch, and Gonzalez pops it up. And this will go over the netting and into the concourse again, as we'll stay at a 3-2 count. Top of the 11th inning, a 1-1 ball game between Kannapolis and Salem. What a way to end off this six-game series between these two sides. 3-2 count. Guerrero steps in, and Gonzalez fouls this towards the Salem dugout.
Really good at battle, just like I was saying before. Gonzalez really running up the pitch count of Guerrero. So that's, again, in a positive of itself.
3-2 counts. Guerrero steps in, and the fastball misses away at 98 miles per hour for ball number four. And it is a walk to Misael Gonzalez, and now runners on the corners for Kannapolis.
Just like you were saying, though, I wonder who can be available out in the bullpen right now. I believe number 45 for the Salem,
Osvaldo De La Rosa.
Looks like he's warming up, or moving at least.
First pitch on the way to Nick Thornquist is in the zone, above it actually, for ball number one. And he's making his debut this week for Kannapolis, and he's played a pretty big role. 1-of-3, and now Gilberto Mexicano requests for some time to talk with Luis Guerrero. So the Salem Red Sox score the game's opening run back in the second inning thanks to a Jose Garcia RBI double. It stayed 1-0 Salem all the way up to two strikes with two outs in the top of the ninth inning. And that's when Wilbur Sanchez, who is on deck right now for we were thinking that maybe right after that play where he was limping out, he might not be available to bat, but looks A-okay. He was the one that makes this a 1-1 ball game. Here's the 1-0 pitch. Thornquist cranks this out towards left center field. Lopez moving to the gap, makes the grab for out number three. And another crisis averted for the Salem Red Sox. It stays 1-1 as we go to the bottom of the 11th inning. Due up, it's Eduardo Lopez, Brian Gonzalez, and Gilberto Mexicano for the Salem Red Sox. And Tyler Miller will be the ghost runner for the Salem Red Sox when we come back in this 1-1 ball game. We welcome you back to Salem Memorial Ballpark. And now Eduardo Lopez at the plate will be intentionally walked just like Marcelo Meyer was. And for folks that are just tuning in, it's a 1-1 ball game. The Kannapolis Cannonballers and the Salem Red Sox tied in the bottom of the 11th inning. And so we have some changes to let you know of. Not only is going to be Gilberto Mexicano batting in place of Jose Garcia in the bottom of the 11th inning, but also Tyler Miller is not running for the Salem Red Sox. It is Keir Meredith who is at second base for Salem. So after Eduardo Lopez has intentionally walked, we drop down to Brian Gonzalez. And the first pitch is away for ball number one. So this has to be not one to think about. You would rather pitch to Gonzalez rather than Lopez, because Gonzalez is 2-for-4 today with a double back in the ninth inning. It's more of like to get force outs at first, second, and third. Pitches away to Gonzalez, and the 1-0 misses off the plate for ball number two. Matter of fact, another one to let you know of as well is that we have a new pitcher in the game as well for Kannapolis. It looks as if that the new pitcher into the game is Tyson Messer, if I'm correct, to be number 28, as he fires a 2-0 pitch low of the zone for ball number three.
And just like Jenkins, I mean, this is a little bit even worse. He has 15 walks this year and only 10 strikeouts. So, again, finding the cannonballers. So the Red Sox have to take advantage in this inning.
3-0 count to Gonzalez, and this one misses inside for ball four. And everyone moves 90 feet closer to home. Keir Meredith at third base, Eduardo Lopez at second base, and now it's Brian Gonzalez at first. And look who's into the game. First at bat of the day. Welcome to the show, Gilberto Mexicano. You have the bases loaded with nobody out. Jose Garcia, who went 1-for-3 today. Pretty good day. But they made the change for Gilberto Mexicano to help out with Luis Guerrero. is now the new batter into the game. First pitch on the way to Mayakano. It goes over the head, and it's going to be a play at the plate. Keir Meredith scores, and the Salem Red Sox walk it off in the bottom of the 11th. A wild pitch by Messer, and Keir Meredith, who just advanced to third off the walk, comes in from third, and the Salem Red Sox win the series. What a job this was done by the Salem Red Sox, an unorthodox way all game long. And this is a crazy way for the game to come to a close, as Thornquist behind the plate was trying to make a throw back towards the pitcher of Messer at home, but they never had a shot, and Keir Meredith touches home, and the Salem Red Sox take this ball game today. Wow, what a win for the Salem Red Sox in this battle.
What a way to go into the All-Star break as well.
So many players today playing with that role for this team. Keir Meredith scores the game-winning run, and he was in the game for about a whole 2 minutes. That's how it takes for the Salem Red Sox to go 11-10 on the second half of the season. I mean, Luis Guerrero did a solid job today on the mound holding on to this. I believe if you have a player of the game, Luis Guerrero might be the guy for the Salem Reds to win this one 2-1 on this Sunday evening. So the Salem Red Sox right-handed pitcher Luis Guerrero picks up the win. He also does a solid job in making sure that Kannapolis doesn't score any runs down the stretch. And the Salem Red Sox, they start off the game early with that run in the bottom of the second inning. Kannapolis made things interesting in the top of the ninth inning with a run to bring us to extras in one of our longest games of the season inning-wise. It ends with a win for the Salem Red Sox as Keir Meredith touches home for the game-winning run. So what a game this was for the Salem Red Sox. They go into that All-Star break, like you're mentioning, Crescendo. 5 games above .500 on the overall record on the season. They are now 46-41. While the Kannapolis Cannonballers drop to 39-48. And on the second half numbers, Salem is at 11-10 on the second half of the season, and Kannapolis is 13-8. Let's take a look at some of the highlights in today's game. Jose Garcia opening things up with an RBI double down the right field line. Look at number three hustling around the base path. Brian Gonzalez at third as well. He's trekking all the way home. That was the only run in regulation for the Salem Red Sox, but it was a big one as it held on for the majority of the game. And here's Gabriel Jackson firing away to DJ Gladney. Marcelo Meyer, backhand play, throw to first base. It took a hop and a skip into the glove of Jordan, but in time for the out. And Jackson once again pitching a gem as he strikes out the batter Benny Bailey later on in the contest. And here's Jackson striking out Misael Gonzalez as well. But then later on, it was all about this offense for Kannapolis as Gabriel Jackson strikes out again, DJ Gladney. But here's the moment where we got to extras. Wilbur Sanchez hits it out towards center field. Here comes the low from Lopez, and it goes over the glove and actually hits off the netting that is able to score Wilfred Verhaes from second. Look at Wilfred Verhaes scoring home. He's pumped later in the inning. Atwood line drive caught by Marcelo Meyer. And now Brian Gonzalez laying the bottom of the ninth inning. He puts one down the left field line, rolls all the way to the wall. Gonzalez trying to be that game-winning run for the Salem Red Sox. Look how amped he's in going into second base for the Salem side. And then Edison Paulino later in the inning puts it right into the glove of Wilfred Verhaes for the double play. But then here's the moment where the Salem Red Sox won. The A-mail pitch, and Keir Meredith scores from third, and the Salem Red Sox rejoice as they win the contest 2-1 over the Kannapolis Cannonballers. What a way to end the series. The Salem Red Sox win 4-6 games over the Kannapolis Cannonballers, and a big style today. Crescendo, what were your thoughts on this 2-1 win for the Salem Red Sox side?
One that we're going into, obviously, the All-Star break with a win on our, on our shoulders. Gabriel Jackson pitched phenomenal. Luis Guerrero pitched phenomenal. Either one of those guys could have been player of the game. And one thing that I think I really want to note was that the defense was much improved for today. They seem rested. They seem ready to go. And it really kept them in the game with Meyer really playing to his strengths and really having good defensive presence there and never quitting. Obviously, they were down. They got down and they tied the game in the ninth inning. And obviously, you could have kind of gave it up there with the ghost runner on second, but they were able to come back. They were able to squeeze one play after another until eventually Kannapolis made some iffy choices as well, putting pitchers in positions that didn't really have great command of the strike zone. Don't know if it was because it was the end of the series or it was just their time in the rotation. However, it ended up costing Kannapolis, I believe.
It did, and the Salem Red Sox win this game 2-1 over the Kannapolis Cannonballers. We already mentioned it, the Red Sox now 11-10 in the second half of the season, while the Kannapolis Cannonballers dropped to 13-8, first in the Carolina League South Division second half title race. And while for the Salem Red Sox, they will improve to 11-10, they remain at third as we head into the break. Well, that's going to do from Salem Memorial Ballpark. The Salem Red Sox take this one 2-1 over the Kannapolis Cannonballers. Crescendo Fano, what a game for you to get on here in the broadcast booth. My name is Andy Losey. We all hope you have a wonderful rest of your Sunday. Have a very relaxing all-star break as well. We will be back Friday night at 7:05 p.m. right here at Salem Memorial Ballpark to start a three-game series against the Lynchburg Hillcats. Make sure to come out to the ballpark, but if you can't, you know where to find us, right here on MILB.TV or the audio stream on the Salem Red Sox website. Have a wonderful night. You've been listening to Salem Red Sox Baseball.